Ladies and gentlemen, you are entering the realm of 5-2 Sports. Good morning, good evening, good night, folks. This is your 5-Tool Sports Podcast host, Woody Massey. But this ain't football today. No football today. We're talking NBA. And this is a new project. Been a long time coming. One of my greatest confidants when it comes to the beautiful game of basketball. As Magic Johnson would say, the beautiful, beautiful game of basketball. Of course, that laugh on the other end is none other than Coach Melvin Taylor. Melvin, why don't you give our audience a brief synopsis of your experience with basketball? Melvin, more than anyone I know, he's one of my best friends and true friendship built off the bounds of basketball and movies.
Yes, absolutely.
Both cinephiles. But Melvin, more than anyone I know, basketball is the center of his life. He consumes it like it is a religion. And for good reason. It brings rhyme and reason to life, Melvin. Some structure is beautiful. Tell us what basketball has been for you.
Well, first and foremost, man, it is an honor to be even sitting here talking to you. So happy, so proud of you.
Thank you, sir.
That's first and foremost. But also, man, I mean, about me, just a simple guy that loves basketball. I love it to its core. I haven't heard Coach in a long, long time.
I mean, yeah. we got to tell the people. You got some Colgate experience.
Yeah, man. Back in the day, I did coach at Hartford Community College. That was the women's team as well as the men's team. That was an amazing experience, man. But like you said, it's been a long time coming as far as basketball. I worship it, man. I'm talking about since 1940s basketball, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, all the way till now. This is the 75th season of the NBA. So, you know, I mean, I love basketball, but NBA basketball at its core is like my passion in life.
Same. Everyone who tries to tell me college is more fun to watch, I was like, you're not watching the NBA. Like, here's something which we're going to talk about soon. The last few years have been a little rough on me personally with the NBA. Yes. I thought the game was getting to a point of just unwatchable. Because if you're not shooting a three-pointer, you're shooting foul shots. And the games were 30 minutes longer because of all the stoppages.
Yeah, yes, yeah.
It's just, oh, man. Well, we're going to get into that in a second. But, yeah, Melvin.
Well, I just want to say real quick, it's funny you say that. Just me also being 36 now, being a middle-aged kind of guy. I'm not like a get-off-my-lawn type of person. I love it with the time. And I think we're going to talk about it later on. Obviously, you're going to bring it up. But how basketball in particular is very synonymous with hip-hop music. And
100%.
As far as like of how you know, the rhythm, the tempo,
the flow,
the way things feel, like you compare like maybe a, you know, softer times of basketball to softer times in hip hop. But again, we'll dive more into that later. But I think that's a great segue what you just said about how the game has now kind of been a positive turn for the better.
Yeah. So. No, totally. And I've heard people compare basketball to ballet as well. There's a lot of synchronized movements and rhythms. Yes. Like when it's all flowing together, I always cut back to one of my favorite, like I had a bunch of NBA highlight videotapes growing up. I used to run those all the time. Like NBA, one of my favorite ones was NBA Top 100 Greatest Plays. They had Magic, Kareem, all the Hall of Famers coming in and just talking about the different separate plays and big moments. And I remember Magic was on there and he was just talking about when you get five guys on the court that just know where each other are going to be and the ball doesn't even touch the floor. He was like, that was showtime. That is beautiful, beautiful basketball.
Absolutely.
I always think of that.
Absolutely.
Anytime the ball doesn't touch the floor, you move it up the floor in three passes and you finish near the basket. That's how sweet it is, as Walter Payton
said. That's beautiful, man. And again, there's the piggyback off that, man. That's showtime. When the ball doesn't touch the floor, that's showtime. That's what made the Golden State Warriors during their time. And even now, it's going to start back up. We'll dive back into that again, but I just think that it's going to start back up when that ball don't hit the ground. This total movement.
That was modern Showtime basketball. That Golden State Warriors run, and who's to say it's completely over yet? I think they may have more left in them.
Oh yeah, yeah, definitely.
At least, but that's they were the modern Showtime Lakers. They changed the game 100%. They switched us to you're dumb if you're not shooting the three pointer and set right inside the.
Exactly.
Perimeter. Yeah, exactly. But let's jump right into the NBA, man. Things have been going. And here's the thing that changed things for me this year. Cause the last few years, I'm saying it. I've been saying it out loud. The game just wasn't the same. Like one, we're already shooting a massive amount of three pointers as a league.
Yes.
And that's fine. I love it. I get it. Percentages wise, it just makes sense. Cause like if you're going to hit the three pointer, at a similar percentage as a long distance too, why would you not? It just doesn't make sense. But with that came going to the basket with dudes like James Harden, Steph Curry, Damian Lillard. And well, we've seen a switch. It was a perimeter-oriented league. All these elite teams had a little dude that could get the ball to the basket and draw fouls, shooting like 10 foul shots a game. But the NBA said no this offseason.
Absolutely.
They came in and they specifically, like, this was looked at as a James Harden rule. Because James Harden, more than any other superstar I've ever seen, James Harden is an amazing basketball player. Now, ask me if I enjoy watching James Harden play basketball.
Do you enjoy watching James Harden play basketball?
Hell no. James Harden is a rough watch. When he was on the Rockets, one, his usage is just so high. And I do spot some bias in me because I do enjoy watching Luka Doncic. Whose use is very similar numbers to what James Harden was in Houston.
But he's a little different, though, because I feel as though with him, he's able to use his body to create much more cleaner looks. He's not looking for the foul.
Thank you.
Also, he grew up in the league. He grew up in the European league where it's much more contact. So coming here, it's like child's play.
Much more contact and, like, he was playing against grown men.
Grown men. 16. Like 16. Yeah. It's amazing, man. And then to your James Harden point, you call it the James Harden rule. That speaks to his greatness because throughout history of the NBA, whether it be Charles Barkley, whether it be many others, there have been rules, you know, to change, like Shaquille O'Neal, like the rules of the game have to be adjusted for certain players who just take incredible advantage of it, like incredible advantage. Whereas I think with Michael Jordan, this is a whole nother thing. A lot of the rules were kind of changed to help him. Along with even LeBron James, a lot of rules were kind of even shaped to help him. But with James Harden.
Even Kobe Bryant, too.
Even Kobe Bryant.
Was a later career.
Absolutely. Steve Nash. I mean, a lot of, like, again.
It changed Steve Nash's career. Steve Nash went from an all-pro point guard to a Hall of Fame point guard.
Absolutely. And with James Harden, now that with this rule change, we're going to really see how great he really can be. Cause I think if he adjusts even slightly better than expected, he should even be higher in some people's mind as a great player in history. But again, that's a whole other discussion.
Well,
but I love the rule change.
He can't be lazy now. He can't have that gut anymore. He's got to be a top pro athlete because he could sell it before. He was the NBA's Denzel every time he went into the lane. Anytime he got touched, theatrics.
2,000%.
Throwing the head back, flailing the body.
And you see it now. It's like muscle memory. It's quite remarkable how he's still not getting a call, but he still kind of flails. So I think by like maybe January, February, he'll probably stop flailing as much.
100%. Well. Now, there are some other players that it's some cause for concern for losing out on the foul shots. And one dude specifically that we've seen, and this could be a combination of there were rumors all offseason that maybe he was headed out of town. He's getting to that age where the team honestly should consider gaining some capital back because they haven't been able to capitalize with him as their main player. And, of course, I'm talking about Dame Dollar, Damian Lillard. Are we worried about Damian Lillard in this new era of basketball?
That's an awesome question. I am absolutely, positively not worried about Dame Dollar Lillard, the great lyricist, which, by the way, his last freestyle was amazing.
Best NBA rapper of all time, right?
Best NBA rapper of all time. Hands down. I don't think that's even Yeah, I know it's a Shaq, all due respect, but it's Dame Dollar all day.
If we're going for a party freestyle, give me Shaq all day. But if we're going for like straight hot bars, I'm taking Dame.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But I'm not worried about Dame. I think with Chauncey Billups, you see what Chauncey's trying to do. You see his vision for what he wants for the ball movement. And I think the ball movement and now where Dame is getting his shots from are not where he normally likes to score.
His hot zones.
Hot zones. He's very much an ISO top of the key pick and roll player. Chauncey's not really a pick and roll player. If anything, he uses the pick and roll to probably move the defense while he uses back cuts. Mm-hmm. You see that a lot with his sets. His sets are actually quite, closely resembles his time with the Pistons. Yeah. Which is why you see CJ McCollum's numbers are slightly a tick high. It seems like he's scoring a lot easier for the team.
Well,
because
he's so used to coming off picks playing with Dame, because that's been his whole offense pretty much.
Exactly.
That high pick and roll up above the perimeter. Chauncey's doing a good job of integrating what they did well.
Yes.
And what already and the new defense. Because I think he is pushing them in the direction they need to go if they're going to find consistency in the playoffs.
Absolutely.
Because what he's trying to teach Dame here is Dame's been the predominant hero baller in the NBA for like the past 5 years.
Yeah.
He plays hero ball. He's gonna play at 110% all the time. But we've seen it over and over again at the end of games, after being on fire for two quarters, Dame could just run out of juice, as any player would when you're playing. Well,
exactly. And again, and he's also a defensive liability. Mm-hmm. He's also someone he's actually averaging 8.6 assists a game.
I think that's a career high too.
So I think people are not looking at his game the right way. People that aren't really accustomed to seeing him play this way. People that aren't really basketball savvy aren't seeing the little nuances of coaching that's being done. He's actually probably playing more of his position now. But again, man, I think the rules are, you can't ignore the rules. I think the change of the rules really, for lack of a better word, affected him, I guess. But, he'll get out of it. I'm 100%.
And Norman Powell is looking like a good pickup last year. People wondered if that contract was going to come back to bite them. He's integrating himself into the new offense pretty well.
Oh, so. Yeah. Chauncey's a real good coach, man.
I knew Chauncey would be good. Yeah, people have said for years, Chauncey's been considered the last couple years as maybe. People thought maybe he's a little too young, a little too headstrong, but no. Like, that's the type of player coach immediately walks into the locker room with a resume that you must respect.
Oh, yeah, and I think he's better than Doc Rivers. Pause. We don't have to talk about that now. I threw that out there. Oh, I did it. Oh, I said it.
Doc already said it. Love me till you hate me coach. Because you love him when he first comes into town. And eventually you're just like, why?
Well, you know, I'm a Philly fan. So, you know, I was so in love with Doc. I was in love with Doc.
I still can't believe that he came out and said that about Ben after that loss. Because as a coach, I get why you call out your player for passing up shots. But if you know that your player is an insecure head case like Ben Simmons, like, what do you think this is going to do? You think this is going to push him in the right direction?
Different generation.
But we'll get to that when we get to the Eastern Conference.
That's a whole other thing.
And we're seeing also players with elite skill sets with this change in the NBA. It's bringing skill back to the game and highlighting players that are skillful at basketball. Because another player that you worry about having an adjustment would be Steph Curry. Because he gets a lot of contact, a lot of foul shots. This has just highlighted Steph even more and his shooting, because he is the greatest shooter of all time. And anyone who says different, you're wrong.
great, sir. And me and you talked about this behind the scenes, never out on this platform. But I think, and I believe in my heart, even though a lot of people would disagree, Steph Curry to me is the best player in the NBA right now. Of course, people will disagree with that. I'm just going by what I see and what I'm looking at as far as a shooter, as far as you said, these rules, and he's still being able to get into the paint, get any shot he wants, get off any shot he wants. He's playing so carefree. It was also just really put a real magnifying glass on just his skill level and how much better he is than most people at that position.
And also another team that I don't think there's cause for concern, but we're definitely going to see an adjustment period with this new foul calls or lack thereof. Trae Young. We saw Trae Young. Trae Young learned the Reggie kickout. We saw it last year. He mastered that. That's what took his game to the next level. He started going to the line 11 times a game.
Mm-hmm.
And he learned that little flare kick out with your leg at the end where you pick up that extra foul shot. And that's fine. And Trey's adjusting, though. We're seeing he's going to be fine because Trae is an elite shooter. And James Harden is, too. But James isn't getting those easy buckets in the paint anymore. That's what he has to get back to. Because Trae's still quick. James is adjusting. And Dame, they're adjusting as old men. So they got to get back used to taking the ball up strong, not just relying that they're going to get that call when they go up. They got to make sure the ball goes in the basket.
Oh my God. First of all, I'm smiling ear from ear because before we come on here, we don't talk about anything together. We just come on here and start talking. So I was going to actually tell you, when you brought up James Harden, I said, actually, I was just the Trae Young rule because of the effect he had in the playoffs last year. The NBA said, and then also the Olympics, but also we'll probably end up calling it the Olympic rule maybe, but especially in the last year's playoffs, Trae Young went off, and
almost snuck the Hawks into the finals off foul shots.
Yes, off foul shots, and he'll go and bounce. And Ben Simmons was actually complaining a lot about it. Matter of fact, with the rule changes now, Ben Simmons would 1,000% lock down Trae Young.
And this is a smart move that the NBA has to do too, because they're going in the same direction as the NFL with legalization of gambling, sports gambling in many states. There's massive amounts of money to be made based off of the gambling on the NBA. And people don't gamble as much on the NBA because the game is very much in the ref's hands. Like it can be in football too, but 20 times more in the NBA.
Really?
Especially with the Tim Donaghy fiasco that people still think the NBA can be rigged at times and point-shaving accusations. So they had to remove that problem for them to open up massive amounts of profit potential.
Oh my goodness! And let's also be real. People love physicality. That's why. That's why football will always be. Well, you know, we're coming. I love NBA. I always joke when August 26th or 25th comes, I'm like, NFL's over for me.
Yeah, you're an NFL fan for the quarter of a season.
Exactly. But again, man, I love the NFL. But again, the physicality is what attracts the world to it, or at least the United States, rather. But now we bring that physicality back to the NBA, bring that kind of 90s feel back, along with skill and talent.
Well, this is also what brings me to my next point, which is we're going to see the return of guys taking it to the basket more. We're going to see guys – we saw wing players that have these massive frames just revert to being kickout shooters because they couldn't take the ball to the basket – and finish. But now that they can use their strength and get physical, we're going to see it shift more back to athleticism and physicality. And that's also why we're seeing guys like Ja Morant emerge even bigger this season, because he's a big point guard that takes the ball to the hoop like a bigger player than who he is, really.
I saw him play last night, and again, off air, man, we were talking, and we kind of compared him to like a Russell Westbrook. I was going to say that. That's what you're going to say. I was going to let you say it, but you said it's Stevie franchise. But I was watching him play last night, and I said, man, I see a little Tony Parker. I'm talking about the floater. And I said, oh my, and once he get in the paint, and I said, that's why he's averaging the most points in the paint, which is like so amazing above Anthony Davis, who by the way is having a great season.
Well, the hang time is insane underneath the basket. Like people,
he's second to Kyrie
and dunk, but what he can do when he starts floating underneath and just hovering while bending the arms, I don't get how he hangs there. He's got anti gravity boots on.
He's second to Kyrie with the backboard game with the shots off the backboard and getting those angles. Like you just said, using that hang time, he's remarkable, man. I can't speak too much about. He's the big surprise of the year.
All right, Mel, before we start going into our Western Conference preview, I want to ask you, as a mental health professional, you have a psychology background. You've worked in mental health for a long time.
Yeah, man.
Now you've moved into the tech world, obviously. But with your background, because you know I could be a little brash with these dudes, because it's hard, because you see these dudes, they're the young men with gifted talents, obviously, in demand, making tons of money. And sometimes you sit there and wonder, like, oh, how can you just be like this when you make
just the ball?
Everyone's got different problems. What's Kyrie Irving? How do you feel about this whole mess? Because let's be real. This version of Brooklyn with just James Harden and I don't give no care whatsoever. We're going to try not to curse in this podcast, but I don't give no cares whatsoever. Kevin Durant's morphed into like some hip hop Mob Deep persona where he's just throwing balls into. You see him last night or two nights ago against Kelly Olynyk? He just threw an elbow into dude's face.
Right his throat. He said, take that. And that's so funny. And you know me, I keep things so real. And I'm not like the biggest Kevin Durant fan, even though I think Kevin Durant's automatically a top 10 player of all time. Again, another argument another day.
Arguably the best scorer ever.
And again, you know me, so you know I watch every game, or at least I try to, all my screens I have in front of me. I try to watch every game. And that play, when he did that, I would, the two plays before that, he actually pushed Kevin Durant. And people, and again, Kelly, you know, with Kelly, you know how he is. Kelly O, this guy is very, and again, I love him because he has that flair and flavor of a 90s player. Somebody who's like, okay, I'm not like the most talented. You know, he's very skilled. He's not the most talented, so he has to use those antics per se. I mean, remember he did a few years ago to Kevin Love. So this guy, he be doing things, and then Kevin Durant is at a level now, and he's 33 years old. He just don't care. You know, he just don't give really a heck. Hasn't. You don't really care, yeah. He really doesn't care. But to your point about Kyrie,
they're not a championship team without Kyrie as of right now.
Can I be real? Yeah. I'm 1,000% real, and I even with Kyrie, and again, this is me making this statement off the basis of James Harden not returning to his MVP level. I think he's going to get to an All-Star level, but I don't know if he's going to get to the MVP level, which is why
I agree with you 100%.
Which is why I'm saying that. Also, Aldridge is a shell of himself. Mm-hmm.
He's got the heart condition now.
Heart condition now. God bless him. Joe Smith. That's his name, right? He has such a.
Joe Smith. Joe Harris.
Joe Harris. He has such a basic name, and his game is just as basic as his name.
He looks like a creative player avatar when you get 2K.
Yes. And again. Great shooter, great spacer. Defensively, he's a liability.
Shooters in the NBA.
Top six, seven, easy. But guess what? Not a great clutch shooter.
Nope.
Not a great defender.
Nope.
Pretty good driver.
He's a little bit better Ryan Anderson. That's who he is.
Thank you. I agree 2,000%. So to me, even with Kyrie, they weren't coming out the East. I'm still picking either Giannis or the Heat. And again,
East is next week. That's next week's episode.
Crazy, because I'm a yeah. My East ideals are crazy, but continuing with the West.
Well, before obviously, so you feel the same way I do about Brooklyn. Now another team, because this is just top of the news line. We got to comment on this because this is the two biggest storylines here in the NBA season so far, and we're gonna spend like 5 minutes on this. Okay. Ben Simmons.
That's my team.
Now, here's the thing. I have sympathy for Kyrie because to a certain point, I understand it.
Okay, your body, 100%.
You don't want to put something in your body that someone's telling you to put into it.
Oh, yeah.
I feel the vaccine is harmless. I've been also, vaccinated. The
social aspect for Kyrie because he's become a social icon in a way. So, he's representing a certain populace of the community. So, he has a lot of pressure not to get vaccinated because he's, you know, world is flat, other things.
He's That's part the of way. That. Extremely woke community.
Yeah, that's that wave he's on. So he has a lot of pressure. That's a lot of pressure. I'm being very sincere. I'm not even trying to be funny. I'm being so sincere.
Is a lot of pressure because he's kind of the face of that.
He's the face of that.
Yeah.
That
at least
thing.
In the athlete world.
But with Ben Simmons, I just think it's just, we'll talk about,
Ben, can I be real? I'll make an exception for Ben.
I say that's like really some bitch assness. Like sincere.
Bro, sincerely, it really is. Like, tell me how.
All angles, though, and I can tell you all angles, but what are you about to say?
Tell me how all you have to do is take a few shots to keep people honest from the perimeter. You don't even need to make them, but 30% clip. And you spend all offseason with the shooting coach, right? We see you drilling the shots, warming up in practice, but you're just straight too afraid to take them in the game.
Beyond.
It's I've never seen a level of mental weakness like this in the NBA. And honestly, maybe it's Philly. Like Philly's,
you know what's so funny? Not to interrupt you, but I don't even think it's – you think that once the mental weakness aspect of it, from my analysis of him, I think it's more of a prideful, arrogant, and it's very selfish arrogant perspective. Arrogant is a good word. Because he's more like, oh, they're telling me I have to shoot. I'm going to win games for us without shooting.
He and that's what it looked and like. And he literally said, Giannis doesn't have to shoot. You're not Giannis, bro.
He said that. Yeah, he said that.
You aren't yamming on 90% of the league.
Absolutely. And people forget when he played against the Utah Jazz and he dropped, like, what was that, 40 some points that other game?
Right.
Even though he wasn't shooting jump shots, he was at least taking shots that were like 9 to 12 feet out, little floaters, made a little jump like in the paint area. Besides that game, he wouldn't even take that during the season. Yeah. It only was layups or like whatever, but even with the layups, it had to be wide open. So
the thing that drew the line for me, I'm very pro player. I've always been very pro player. I think these old rich white men are rich enough. They have too much say over young men, especially when the young men are the most valuable thing in the league. Without them, they wouldn't be nothing. No one would come to your games. Therefore, they deserve more money. And that's how it should be. Absolutely. The rich don't need to get richer.
Absolutely. Let's
create some new wealth. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir.
And here's where I stopped supporting Ben Simmons. When the entire team flies out to see you, to come talk to you as a brother, because when you're a team, you go to war together.
Absolutely.
Like that, the team chemistry is so important. And, you know, it's rough when Joel threw him under the bus a little bit, but you get the frustration. But as grown men, these men gathered, flew to you, came to you across the country, and you wouldn't even see them or talk to them in person.
That's a great point.
That's just the level of – that's a little boy. That's a little boy.
That's no self-awareness. That also that tells you a lot about who he is as a person. Tells you a lot about his upbringing because, you know, he's not from the States.
He's from Australia.
You forget about even his LSU experience. He didn't go to class. They said he wasn't even really a part of a team like that. He wasn't as invested as getting them into
the tournament. He sat out the tournament.
You sat out the tournament. I mean, again, they could have played into – I think if he played harder, he could have gotten a tournament, but he's more thinking about himself.
And the reason he went to LSU is because they gave his coach a position on the staff at LSU basketball.
Absolutely.
This man cares way more about having people he knows around him.
Absolutely.
Rather than – and that's not realistic. Like, you're not going to spend your whole career with the same people.
That's not life. It's not life, man. And again, that's the people around us, the enablers. That's Clutch Sports, you know.
Well, I've read from many different avenues that his family is in his ear, and they tell him that he doesn't have to shoot.
Yeah.
Like, he's got people in his circle telling him, yo, you don't have to shoot if you don't want to.
Oh, yeah. I read some reports on that, too, online, that some parents were saying that. Or his parents, not his parents, but uncle or somebody was like, somebody along the lines of saying that.
So why is it always the unk? You know?
Yeah, it's always the unk, man. It's always the unk. It's real tough.
Kawhi's got the unk in the ear.
Yeah.
Ben's got the unk in the ear.
Absolutely, man. The unk always going to be there. Unk always going to be there, man. But, yeah. But I hope they work the Ben Simmons thing. I think at the end of the day, I understand where he's coming from. Again, the way he reacted was just like people in your ear. He's very insecure from the perspective. Like, for instance, looking from his perspective, something like that happened to you. Somebody in your crew will come to you and say, oh, man, you let your coach talk to you like that? Oh, man, da, 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 da. And a strong person will be like that, well, I didn't do this. And it's reasonable for him to react that way. I'll talk to him as a man when I see him.
I mean, that's what we see from all the greats. Whenever they catch a loss, a big loss, even when it's not on them, that's on me.
Yeah, because this it's on me. Absolutely.
And you specifically, the way you reacted, it's not your team.
Yeah.
Therefore, you're not a top 20 NBA player if it's not your team.
No.
That's just facts.
That's 2000. That's
if you're making that money, that better be your team.
That better be your team. 2000.
And now he's saying that he wants to go somewhere where it's like his thing, his franchise, because he doesn't think him and Joel can be on the floor together and succeed. And I get that.
I
understand
it. I agree. But go, yeah.
Still, you think you're going to get that by just stopping?
This is
taking
asinine.
Your ball going home, and this then reporting because they called you on your BS. I love Daryl Morey. I always thought Daryl Morey was kind of a weird guy. Was on the fence.
He's my
about
He's probably like my favorite. He's me actually in a lot of ways. Like I'm big and I'm big analytical guy. I'm big like numbers guy. I'm a big like oh I got you for 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
You can sit yourself down. I don't care.
Pretty much. Matter because fact, it's you free cannot money. Sell a top 20 asset.
I'm
for
not
50 cents on the dollar.
I'm not. I'm not
do
doing.
It.
I'm not doing it. So we're gonna work this out.
Yeah,
we're going to get you back on the floor so we can advertise you.
It's not just your price tag is going down. Your chance of going anywhere that has a future is going down.
Nobody wants you.
No one. No good team would want you at all.
And somebody like myself who's not even plugged in with the NBA, I'm just a normal weird guy, you know, that was loves the sport. I can see that you're just interested only in yourself. So who wants to bring that toxicity into their environment? It's just not going to happen.
Exactly. All right, Mel. Well, that's going to wrap up our pretty much NBA. This preseason storylines. It's still a young season. We started this off a little late, but we're going to dive into our Western Conference preview. So we're going to go from the top to the bottom right now. Spend a little bit more time on the guys on the top, and then we'll move our way through the rest of the division or conference. Excuse me. Right now, sitting at the top. 5-1, we got the Utah Jazz. And as much as I'd like to say it means something for them to be number one in the Western Conference, they've done it how many years now in a row? Twice in a row?
Twice, yeah, twice.
We're kind of just waiting for the playoffs again, right?
Yeah, I don't really look at them. And again, I think it's more about their time schedule for me. Maybe, but it's great for you.
Yeah, not I so love watching the Jazz. They're fun.
Yeah, it's great for you. Me being an East Coast guy, sadly. They're kind of late for me. Also, they're not on TV as much as they're playing somebody that's actually popular. And again, it's Utah. No offense. Gobert, by the way, averaging 17 rebounds.
Beast.
Freaking amazing.
And I think we may, and this is one thing I am excited for to see this time around in the playoffs. We saw Rudy kind of move up to the next level in
he
the
did.
Olympics.
He did.
He put the France team on his back.
He did.
In the Olympics.
Always defensive, but offensively, you're right. I agree.
Yeah. And we're seeing that this year. Rudy's averaging 16 points a game, but he's taking the ball up hard.
Oh,
his PER is off the charts, as
Absolutely.
Usual. His blocks dipping a little bit, but still a lead at 1.7. Mm-hmm.
But I think it's – again, I'm a nerd and I watch all the games. He still changes shots the same way he's been changing shots.
If he can become much smarter, less on going for the block and
Absolutely.
More towards correct shot contention –
He's getting better at this year.
Because he has to. Because mm-hmm. in the playoffs, he gets into foul trouble, which we'll see less of that year. So that'll be a game changer. And then also his recovery time to switch to defenders.
Absolutely.
And not biting on fakes.
Yep.
That would change their whole output in the playoffs. 100%.
Mm-hmm. 2,000%.
Him playing smarter. Yeah.
Just playing smarter. So, no, unselfish. Because what happens is I call it the Hassan Whiteside. People get into the aspect that they all want to block everything. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to leave my man instead of like covering my area and being myself in position to really help defense better. I'm just going to try to swat everything.
And you know what? I thought that was actually a really underrated pickup of the Jazz actually picking up Hassan Whiteside in the mm-hmm. offseason because in this offense, it's built for someone of his skill set, which it didn't really fit in another one because they need that immense body in the middle. That can defend around the basket and have shooters line up around him. So you know one thing that I like, and I think is very important, especially for playoff teams, to have mm-hmm. compatible bench players to your
Absolutely.
System.
Absolutely.
And the fact that when Rudy needs a little rest throughout the game, now you got a above average backup center, and he's above average because he fits your system. He'd be below average anywhere else because he doesn't fit the modern NBA. But in your system, Hassan Whiteside can step in for 15 minutes – and concentrate on shot contention and rebound.
And again, I'm smiling ear from ear because I purposely set aside Whiteside just so you can go on this little tangent.
Thank
because
you
I knew
much.
You would. You know, and again, I agree 2,000%. Kudos to. And again, I thought them or Pat Riley, their GM was going to get GM of the year. Just because of that pickup, I thought they did a pretty good job. That one pickup, I think, is going to be really good for them. Honestly, I think Heat or the Lakers GM, Pelinka's going to get GM of the year. But, yeah, man, the Jazz, we just got to wait. 100%. Mitchell looks like he's taking a little dip because of the rules, but I think he'll pick back up because he got a lot of D-Wade in him.
He got a lot of D-Wade in him, and he's become an above-average three-point shooter. Flat out. Like, that was huge. That's what took his game to the next level. No one saw Donovan Mitchell becoming this good of a shooter.
Oh, yeah.
This is the thing. This is why people still hold out for guys like Ben Simmons, because the only thing that you can learn when you get to the NBA that you can't do is shooting. That's it. That's the only thing you can do. I mean, we saw it changed Julius Randle's career when he took it out to the three-point line.
Absolutely. His whole trajectory of his career just went to a whole other plateau. And that's what makes the three-point shot so amazing.
Yeah.
It's the great equalizer in so many different facets, so many different levels. Like,
well, especially for the big man, because when you got to respect the big man, and then you have that advantage of being able to take the ball to the basket and really put your body on somebody from the perimeter, it's just unstoppable.
But why doesn't – and again, not to even keep dredging on the Ben Simmons thing. I can't believe you just don't see it or understand how much shooting just affects the game and how it can really not just – if Ben Simmons would take three and make three shots a game, the whole rest of the game will make it easier for him to score, pass, assist, rebound just off of shooting.
For real.
Which makes this time period great.
Let's talk about Donovan Mitchell for a second, because this is something that is going to be in the back of their minds all offseason. Mm-hmm. Donovan Mitchell is becoming a free agent. So that now this is something that we haven't seen a team do. So the Jazz got new owner. This new owner, obviously, he's a smart man. He realized I can't lose my best asset. So what does he do? He goes out. Who's Donovan Mitchell's favorite player of all time? Dwayne Wade. Who did the owner bring in as a part minority owner? Dwayne Wade.
Beautiful.
They go out and trade for his best friend from college. They are trying to everything they can to keep this man in the land of the Mormons.
So in the land the land of Mormons.
It's hard to keep a young superstar in Utah because it's just nothing.
First of all,
to do.
And again, I'm going to say something. You know, I'm a married man, but I watched the Real Housewives of Utah. There's absolutely nothing appealing in Utah. So yeah, we got to put all the stops out. We have to build him a Utah Mormon palace.
I'd be telling him multiple wives, Donovan. Multiple wives.
You know what I'm saying? Like, we'll put that in the contract. I mean, come on, man. But yeah, I mean, but you're right though, Matt, honor, kudos to that whole leadership group doing that, and they're going to continue to do that.
Because they have to. And I think they took a playbook out of Giannis. The Bucks showed him how to do it.
Absolutely.
Keep a big star in a small franchise, small market franchise, these are the things you have to do. You get the Royal Palace treatment. You run things because that's just,
absolutely.
You know, if you don't want to play in a big market. Yeah, exactly. I think it's totally fair.
And especially somebody like him. He's a good guy.
And he seems to be that guy. He wants his own team, too.
Mm-hmm.
So I love dudes like that. I love that Giannis wanted to do it by himself.
Mm-hmm. Also, before we move on from the Jazz, I think the Eric Paschal signing is going to pay huge dividends for them. Just because now you're going to add for that second unit along with Jordan Clarkson. Now you got Eric Paschal. Now you got somebody who can shoot the J and drop from both sides.
Yep.
Again, back to your point about great job, from building your team standpoint in the off season. Mm-hmm. You build your bench how you have your starters. You actually have, when you build your bench, you don't just accumulate talent. I mean, that's what you do, but you have to have a plan for that talent, you know, you accumulate.
Last year, remember, this team also was going out without Bojan Bogdanovic in the playoffs.
Yes.
So that is a big lift from this year's playoffs.
Huge.
Because it's a whole different offense. Like, the man averaging 16 points a game right now. But on, like, another team, he could average 20 easily.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Which, again, takes less stress off of Joe Ingles, who's probably low-key a top 10 three-point shooter that nobody talks about.
None whatsoever. I mean, he's in a small market like Utah. That's why. When the whole offense is raining threes, these guys let threes fly at an amazing clip.
Yeah, he's like, I don't know the numbers in front of me, but I think he is the best three-point shooter in Jazz history.
He has to be up there. His three-point percentage so far this season, he's shooting 48% from three so far.
But that's like every year. People don't even get it. It's like that every year. You know, he's an amazing three-point shooter. And now as you brought more people in to help spread the court and give him more space, yeah, it's just remarkable. Nobody talks about that more. But and he's also a great passer. He's kind of like their point. You know, he's 6'8". He's probably like their point guard in a way. He definitely runs their sets and, like, initiates the offense, allows Dom to run off his screens and get him in his open space.
And so he can do that with guys like Jordan Clarkson coming in off the bench because Jordan moves well without the ball.
Absolutely.
And also, Mike Conley at this point in his career.
At this point in his career, he wants to move off the ball and shoot more jumpers. He can also initiate, but he'd rather do that. Yeah. So, yeah, you're right. So, yeah, the Jazz has a lot of – they have a lot of – actually, the more I talk about it, the more I start to like them.
Yeah, so, no, I love the Jazz every year. The Jazz are, like, one of my favorite franchises. I've always liked them. I used to root for them against Jordan when I was a kid. Yeah, I love Karl Malone, John Stockton.
You know, so, and again, but the thing about us, though, Woody, we're very smart. We have good memories, so we remember playoffs.
Yeah.
So I never get too high off them, no offense.
Ever. Because a team reaches a point of success to where I'm not going to believe the next level until I see it. That was the same story with Houston Rockets for almost a decade with James Harden.
Absolutely. Playoffs in the regular season are literally two different things, which is why I always advocated for separate end of season awards that will go right, that will be directly after the season. Then we'll have playoff awards directly after the playoffs. So I've always been – it's two different seasons. So the Jazz are going to be number one, number two seed again this year, maybe a lowest of three.
True. Let's move on to our number two in the West right now. Your boy, Chef Curry and the Golden State Warriors. They are 5-1, and Stephen Curry is balling out of his mind right now. He's leading the NBA in scoring, 28.7 points per game, dishing out 6.5 assists. That's right along par with his career average. But he's 1.5 steals a game. He's active on defense this year.
That's a misconception. Another conversation for another day that he don't play D. He's actually a very good defender for his size.
He comes from the Allen Iverson school of defense. He gets in the passing lanes.
Good passing lane. I thought as far as body, he does a really good job. The body, he does a very good job of anticipation of the steal, as you said. I think he plays better on ball defense than people really give him credit for. And he's getting bigger, you know.
He is. He's getting that grown man body a little bit. Looks like he's got some chest hair now.
Absolutely.
And then I think the key so far this season for them, though, that people haven't yet started to talk about.
Are you going to talk about Jordan Poole?
Jordan Poole is actually probably number two. But my biggest thing that I've seen while watching them play, having an active Andrew Wiggins on.
Andrew Wiggins, yeah.
With his length.
Yes. He looks comfortable this year.
He's really well. What I see him slipping into once they get Clay back.
Oh my God!
Is he'll be their Harrison Barnes?
Way better than Harrison Barnes.
Yeah, exactly.
Defensively, because of defense.
Yeah,
because he don't get enough credit for his defense.
When he's dialed, because it's spotty defense.
Oh, it's very spotty. It's more about talent. It's more about his talent and skill rather than his mind. He has no mind. Draymond literally controls him like a controller. It's the most amazing thing. Draymond Green is, I don't care, nobody says it. And people get, and I remember he said he's the greatest defender of all time. Asinine. Idiot. But I will say he's top 15 all time. Easy.
Yeah, 100%. Just because of his flexibility.
Flexibility, mind, the fact that he's like, he's, when you look at, when you think of a great defender, you think of Elijah Warren, someone who's a great at blocking shots, great at boom, boom, boom. Draymond's not great at a particular thing. He's great really.
He's
top five ever at body position. But what I'm trying to say is he's really, really, really good at every aspect of defense.
Yeah.
Which I think people don't give enough credit for it. You know what I'm saying? So I think mentally, I think he's also the one of the greatest leaders of all time. He is the factor leader of that team, which is why I think they'll always be in the playoff hunt.
Well, he's putting up insane numbers, too. Let's be real. He's honestly one of the worst offensive players, like, around the basket, just because he's undersized. And he's not the most athletic guy of all time. Like, he has football athleticism. That side-to-side shuffle, but his ups – they're not where they were a couple years ago. He lost. Yeah. He's lost about 6 inches.
He's some strength shoes.
100%. But he's putting up crazy numbers again. The numbers that you see in the box score that do affect the team. 9 points a game, and he's putting up almost 9 rebounds, 7 assists, 1.3 steals, 1.2 blocks. That's the full stat right there. That's Draymond. He's the only player right now that can force wins without having to score.
It's amazing. I think Ben Simmons can be a super Draymond, but he'll never be a super Draymond because he don't have that those variables, and you know, those variables that people don't really see, them invulnerables. Is that invulnerables? No, that's the wrong word.
Yeah.
It doesn't really matter.
Intangible,
exactly. Appreciate that, great sir. Intangibles, because I think I'm looking at numbers as well. Almost 10 points, 7 rebounds, 60% from three. That's not going to last.
It's not. But if he can hit, consistently at a 35
line, that's a championship. Again, this is my dark horse. Mm-hmm. Before the season started, I actually have all my picks for preseason. I wasn't going to bore you with that, but I actually had them coming out of fifth seed. After watching them play, they'll end at a top four seed guaranteed. I'm guaranteeing that right now. They'll be a top four seed. They're already number two seed. I think we're not even considering when Klay comes back.
When Klay comes back, this team is going to be impossible to guard because of the emergence of two players.
Go ahead. Okay. Who?
No. Not Andrew Wiggins. When Klay comes back, to be able to bring in Damian Lee and Jordan Poole off the bench,
yes,
with how they've been playing thus far, you have two guys you can slip in and out of the rotation that they're knocking down threes. And in this offense, if you can find dudes that can knock down threes and play defense,
it's over.
You can't stop.
You can't stop. They're very scary. I'm actually me being a LeBron stan. Very scared for LeBron. It's to the point where now you have Andrew Wiggins, and so now Klay Thompson doesn't have to guard the best wing offensive player.
100%.
That sounds not fair. He has something to prove.
It's true. And me being a Laker fan, last year it was pretty obvious they did not want the Lakers missing the playoffs.
Oh, no.
In that play-in game, because I thought the game was over against the Warriors.
Oh, yeah.
In the play-in tournament, and those refs helped the Lakers out a lot.
Oh, yeah. I appreciate it.
Yeah. It was needed.
I mean, grand scheme of things, I'd rather wanted to see the Warriors than them with their showing against the Suns. But, you know, another story for another day.
Yeah, totally.
But
Jordan Poole, like.
Oh, yeah. I'm big on him.
When he came in the league a couple years ago, he flashed it. We saw it.
Oh, yeah.
But then last year, took that little sophomore slump, and mm-hmm. I don't think anyone expected him to come out firing as he has this year.
No. Not even somebody like me that's a stan and watch basketball. I didn't even see this in the preseason. I didn't see this. I saw hints in the preseason, but for some reason, towards the end of the preseason, as soon as the season began, this guy just came out with the jump shot with confidence. I think basketball is a game of confidence. Which is why Michael Jordan won the greatest ever, because he has supreme confidence. Kobe Bryant, you know what I'm saying? And when confidence is involved in your basketball game, yeah, sky's the limit. And I think Steph Curry just brings that energy and that freeness. When you see Steph Curry just shooting 40-foot shots, hell yeah, I'm going to shoot this 23-foot three-point shot, and I'm going to shoot with confidence, especially when you see that guy every day shooting. Yeah, man, you see what Steph Curry brings to the table, man. Like, to me, he's definitely my dark horse MVP candidate. And I'm not even a big Steph Curry fan. You know, I'm more of a LeBron fan, stan. But this year, Steph Curry has shown me something, not just from his skill level, but from a leadership level and from a comfortability level. His swagger per se is off the charts.
100%. Also, before we move on for them, I think the key for the Warriors, especially that we saw last year, they did not have depth. They brought in Belica, who they were hiding on their NBA development team for a long time. Looney is playing very well as a fill-in center.
Always.
Andre Iguodala.
Great pickup.
obviously.
He'll end here. And it's probably his last year. He's probably going to end right here.
Oh, yeah. He's looking like he's at the end of the road. Cue the boys.
Yeah. He's setting up his shot right now, his house. And
but the most slept on pickup, Otto? I think we'll see it as the season goes on, is Otto Porter Jr.
Yeah.
To have someone that can hit that corner three.
Yes, and above average clip. An above average defender.
Yes, 100%. Even though he's gotten pretty slow on his slide, side to side, that shuffle run would be embarrassing if they put a timing on it, I think.
That's true. And I think that goes with age. I guess he's a little older now. He's also small, man.
He is.
But no, he's got good length, so he'll be fine. But come off the bench, he'll do great. Damian Lee's doing great. I'm a big Juan Toscano-Anderson fan. I love his attitude. I think he'll, again, man. When Clay comes back, things will just gel more because 100%. Everybody's roles will finally be defined. And Clay's on the mission, man. He's coming back. I can't wait.
He got disrespected. I couldn't believe he's on the top NBA 75 list. We're gonna do a special episode all about the 75 list for sure.
Yeah, I'm not gonna keep my thoughts to myself for right now.
Yeah, not yet.
You know,
let's hop to the Dallas Mavericks with personally. Like next to,
I can't believe
he's become my favorite player. It feels so weird saying it, but next to LeBron, favorite player to watch, Luka Doncic.
I mean, Luka legend, baby.
Bro,
love him.
You knew I was all over it when he got drafted. It was the all greatest over. Move the Mavs made. Now I got overhyped because I was the biggest Porzingis fan there was.
He was.
I loved this man.
But I was with you though.
I went to the NBA store. I bought his socks.
Yes, you did.
Walking around with that man on my feet.
That's right.
And, man, it's those guys, man, those special ones, when they just get too many little injuries. And he just isn't the same. We see it. He's had a couple games this season where he can turn it on. But the problem is, with his knees, he can't do it on a night-to-night basis anymore.
No.
So he's not someone you can lean on. And he's making the money of someone you need to be able to lean on.
Yeah, exactly.
And the Mavs should be scared, Melvin.
They should be.
They should be scared because here's the thing. When your superstar doesn't get along with the underperforming superstar and you traded the farm to get a second superstar to play with your young superstar and it's not working out, and then also we're already seeing the red flag of Luka Doncic just didn't get along with Rick Carlisle. Rick Carlisle is one of the best coaches of all time.
All time.
They brought in Jason Kidd. Jason Kidd's coaching has been hit or miss. Sometimes.
Very much so.
Now, I believe he's going to bring the defensive toughness.
Mm-hmm.
That Jason Kidd's all about the defense, and he concentrates on that. That's why Giannis liked him as a coach. And Giannis actually, in his newest book.
I have a critique on him. A fair one, too.
On Jason Kidd?
Yeah.
So, well, Giannis, in his book that got released right after he won the title, there was actually a part in it where Jason Kidd, like, he reached out to him when he heard that the Bucks were thinking about releasing him, and he asked Jason Kidd if he wanted him to put his foot down because he wanted him to stay. And Jason was like, no, don't do that with your young career. It's fine. And that's a Hall of Fame move right there. Like, he did the right thing for a young player.
Absolutely.
But do we see Jason hurt the Mavericks' chances of keeping the Luka Doncic? Because, man, the Dallas needs to be worried. Like, yes, they're 4-2, but those two losses?
This is what happens, Mr. Cuban. You know, I'm a big Mark Cuban fan. This is what happens when you make opinions with your heart and not your head. This is what happens when you make opinions built off nostalgia. You know what I'm saying? Same thing with the Phil Jackson pickup. Same thing with everything. Derek Fish, all those pickups. Because if you look at history, if you look at Jason Kidd, he has never been a good coach. All due respect. Yeah, I think he's a great player.
Middle of the road coach.
Great player development coach. I think he's great as far as understanding his talent and maybe doing rotations. I think he's good at rotations. But I think coming up with game plans, and as far as like building a team, he's very questionable.
He's trying to implement offenses that rely on the intelligence that he had as a basketball player. And
absolutely. And that's the issue with those kind of coach, with people like
he's a 0.01 percentile top 99.9 percentile top intelligence in the NBA. Like, there aren't a lot of basketball players with even half the smarts that Jason Kidd played with. He was one of the most aware people on the court ever to play the game.
Yeah, he's in a half 1 percentile.
Yeah, like top five all time.
Easy.
One of the smartest players.
Easy.
But so the things to worry about, so they opened up, they lost to Atlanta bad.
Yeah, I saw that coming.
Luka had 18 points.
Which, no, Luka starts off slow. I call him the James Harden, white James Harden, because, they chill in the summer, and they want to play themselves in the shape. Yep. And I feel that's what they always do.
Luka came in with a little belly again this year.
Yeah, that's what he does. I think we can expect that from Luka. He's going to come in. Me being a Luka kind of guy, I love that about Luka, because his game isn't reliant on his athleticism.
Now, Luka's got to be careful, though, because he does have the body type that if he lets it slip too hard, he's not the most athletic player of all time.
Oh, yeah.
He
could easily be Boris Diaw.
If we can describe his body in one word, I would say doughy.
Yes, doughy. No, it's doughy.
Like, he's not ripped.
Oh, he'll not, and I don't think he'll ever be ripped.
Yeah, he looks like that really nice white boy at the gym.
Nah, I can see him losing weight, though. I don't think he'll be ripped, but I think he could be slender. I think
he needs to get that Kyle Korver treatment.
I can see him be a Kyle Korver. I was going to say, even with my man Joker, his body's now kind of slender, but it's like still kind of beef. Because Luka got to stay beefy.
Because of his separation,
his body width, it helps with the separation.
His spin move won't work if he gets too skinny.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Which is why with him gaining weight, it's not a huge deal, but don't be no Zion.
But so there's a pattern here. Their second loss, and I actually watched this entire game, the Denver loss that they had on October 29th.
Oh, yeah. And you saw the issues on defense, but go ahead.
He has 16 points in that game. When Luka isn't on, there is no one there to make up for it. So he's got to be on every night. And we've seen when you rely too heavy on somebody like James Harden, that high of a usage rate does not win you a championship. It can get you the playoffs, but it's not going to win you a championship.
Maybe MVP.
Yeah. I mean, let's take a little bit look at their roster here. Obviously, I like that they kept Tim Hardaway Jr. And honestly, he took a hometown discount to stay in Dallas. So smart role players stay with elite guys, special players, because you know that you're going to play in primetime basketball, you're going to play in big games. Smart move for Tim Hardaway Jr.
Sweet brother's brother. Absolutely.
Porzingis, he's averaging like 12. It's not efficient. He's only at a 10.07 PER. That's not good for somebody that's getting paid for him. That's underneath Andrew Wiggins by 6 points, just to put an example. And he's only averaging 12 points a game coming out, but he did have one nice game so far. Now, Jalen Brunson is playing well beyond his pay grade. He's coming off the bench. He's a nice little scorer off the bench. He's doing well there. But that's pretty much where the positives end on their roster.
Mm-hmm. Maxi Kiebler.
Maxi Kiebler, he's been doing good for them. He strained his back the other night. Reggie Bullock is playing 20 minutes a game for this squad. Reggie Bullock is a 15-minute max player.
At max.
And that's on a good team.
The way I look at it, he was getting 20 some minutes with the Knicks, 20 plus with the Knicks. So that means equate that to coming to the Mavericks. You would think the Mavericks are a much higher ceiling with a higher superstar, which means you want to surround him with a much higher level of talent. You would think that they would have not went out, but that shows you it was slim pickings this summer.
I feel like the Mavs more so than any other team have to make a deal with their picks. They got to forfeit their future for the now, because if they don't bring in someone that can play with Luka, they're wasting a generational talent right now.
Generational talent. You're wasting
Look what that giving them that extra pick the next year did for the Hawks. Now they accumulate a lot of young talent around. They got Cam Reddish that year.
Yeah.
And then they brought in Hunter was the next year.
Yeah.
So they got legit guys coming in
for those
picks.
Yeah, thank you.
Difference.
Oh, yeah.
So it's right now I'm worried for the Mavericks, because I love the Mavericks. I've always followed them ever since Dirk.
I'm being real. I'm looking at it right now. It's like you are. It is a trash. And I don't like saying this a lot.
It's trash.
Their roster is trash. And guess what? They're a 3 seed. Mm-hmm. Luka Doncic is amazing, and people gotta really have to really understand who he is. Cause again, not to get ahead of myself again, but you know, I think LeBron James is the greatest of all time. Pause on that little thing. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody who knows me knows that's what I say. But this guy Luka has a chance to usurp that. That's how good he can be.
Well, this team. I'm going to give you an example.
But they're ruining it for it, though.
You know who this team reminds me of? Like right now?
The Cleveland Cavaliers?
Nah, not even that. Even different. It reminds me of the AI Sixers the year they went to the title.
Ooh.
Because you got Kristaps Porzingis, who's like old Derek Coleman, who's been ravaged by injuries in and out the lineup. And he's kind of there.
And they're hoping he'll be better than what he really is right now.
Yeah, and then you got Tim Hardaway Jr. He's kind of like you could say your Aaron McKee or something like that.
Okay.
It's just not good, man. it's not good. Yeah.
No, it's not good. Whatever, man. Honestly, we can kind of – I don't even like talking about the Mavericks. I think they're going to drop significantly.
I think they might be a play-in tournament team this year.
They're going to be a play-in tournament team. Yeah. I know, 1,000%.
Which would be fun to watch with Luka, but I don't necessarily think it would be good for Luka, though.
Not good for Luka legend, man. Mm-hmm. Not good for Luka legend.
All right, now let's talk about my team. My Lakers for life, who they went out, brought in all the gathered all the old dudes. It reminded me of that, what was that movie? The Expendables. Jean-Claude Van Damme,
that's great.
Sylvester Stallone. Yeah,
especially with Melo and Westbrook on his team, it's definitely the Expendables.
They're getting the band back to they're making a super band.
Exactly, a super duper band. They y'all call it the AARP. Lakers, AARP. That was a good one.
So here's my thing with the Lakers. Obviously, we're at the point this team is going to go as far as Anthony Davis takes them.
Yeah.
Because LeBron's going to do his thing.
Absolutely.
And I've watched 4 Laker games so far out of the seven, from beginning to end. And I've seen in those 4 Laker games, 2 nights, I've seen Anthony Davis that we know and love, top 5 player in the NBA. Then I've seen in those other 2 games, Anthony Davis that is short and baby hooks, isn't putting his body into putting the ball around the basket. He's leaning back trying to get the little fade to avoid contact, which I understand because he has had injury troubles in the past.
Absolutely.
But he's got to be dialed in. He's one of the most ADHD players I've ever seen.
Definitely.
Just kind of floats out there. Like the brow lifts his mind off the ground, just takes him somewhere else sometimes, like a bat. And it's just – like the guy's unbelievable. 24.7 points, 11.4 rebounds, around 3 assists, almost a steal a game, and 2.3 blocks.
And the funny thing is, I think he can play better.
Me too. Like I think he can kick it up a whole nother notch.
Like a few notches. I think he's just being average right now. Yeah. Which is why I'm not even worried about the Lakers at all. They'll end up being a top 3 seed just off their talent.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing with the Lakers. Mm-hmm. Here's the thing with the Lakers that everyone was hitting the panic button, and I knew it was coming. You and I have both talked about this before the preseason.
Mm-hmm.
Russell Westbrook, he wasn't going to fit in right away. And he's going to have a rough start to the season because this is what Russ does.
Oh, yeah.
Russ always starts off the season slow ever since he's gotten like 28 because he's just such an intense player. He's got to loosen the bones and the body a little bit. He's getting up there. The man plays with a chip on his shoulder. He's got to loosen the shoulders up.
Yeah, they'll loosen them up a little bit. Absolutely. And I agree with you 2,000%.
But we're starting to see it. We're starting to see him figuring it out. So let's just look at his last 3 games, right?
All right.
So against OKC, that bad loss. This was the turning point, I think, for the Lakers this season. I think now they're back on the right
road. I love that game.
They needed it.
Your guy Giddey, right?
No, don't get me started. Don't get me started on the rookie.
Not yet, man.
Oh, we'll talk about him when we get to Oklahoma City.
I love that. I love that meltdown, but please continue. I loved it.
No, it's what they needed. It's a wake-up call.
Absolutely.
And by the way, we're small enough so we can say this. AD looks like he's just been smoking too much weed.
Absolutely. And
there's pictures all over. Like, the man gets high.
Oh, yeah, you see it.
Let's not lie to each other. So.
Oh, yeah, you see it. Oh, yeah, you see it.
Like, the man, he went out for tacos after the championship. The man looked blitzed out of his mind.
I always read. Look like he's been crying.
And the Cali weed is real, man. Like, it's strong stuff. So I think AD's
it's so available now. A little bit. No more testing. Yeah. This is huge. You know, shout out to Steven Jackson and Matt Barnes. I feel as though they're the ones that really paved the way for this.
Yeah,
with Steven that culture.
Mm-hmm. He's definitely about that life.
You know, ironically, he's not smoking anymore. But that's another story. But keep going.
Hey, sometimes you get old, you got to retire, you know?
Got to retire everything. Got to retire.
Yeah. So, but after that Oklahoma City loss, which Russell Westbrook had one of his famous 10 turnover triple doubles.
Yes.
He's had those in the past. Yeah, exactly. But since then, against Cleveland, I watched this game, and this is where I was like, I'm on a co-owner of a fantasy basketball team. I immediately hit my chat because I'm watching this game, and I was waiting to see this. Westbrook and AD were starting to catch each other's juju on the fast break. Mm-hmm. That beautiful rhythm, that mind-to-mind telepathy contact that you know where someone's going to be when you're running down the floor. And I saw it. I saw the switch. Russ went under the hoop on a hustle play. And because he just ran under the basket too fast, went around the defender, did a beautiful no-look pass right to AD. He just knew he was going to be
there. I know exactly what play you're talking about, man. It's a great play. Yeah, I
was at work. It got me up off my seat. Just, woo, there we go.
That's what I was waiting for. And, bro, let me tell you how as soon as, you know, Vogel gets his – because I think the rotation is really what's going to happen right now. It's going to take months to get the chemistry of the rotation. I actually really think that – before I thought, okay, maybe you take Russ out first, let LeBron and AD finish out the first quarter, let Russ come back in with the second unit, let him die. But honestly, the way I've been seeing this season go, I'd rather see LeBron come out with the break first, start the second quarter with him and Rondo, or with him and with the younger guys, let him do his thing. But I'd rather see, but to your ultimate point, I want to see more Russell Westbrook and Anthony Davis, more time together. Cause I think that balances the floor better for those two. Cause I think LeBron can just adapt to anything. That's his talent.
100%.
So we got to make Russ comfortable.
We have to. And great players put their other players in positions to win. And that's what LeBron's done his whole year career.
Absolutely. 2000%. 2000%, man.
Except with maybe Kevin Love.
Yeah, but I even think with Cal's Kevin Love's fault. I think he just, you know, he got old really fast.
He did. Well, he got skinny.
And he got skinny. And again, back to the point where we talk about Luka, don't lose your girth. Like, if you want to get more tone, no, matter of fact, get more solid. Not to bring, you know, NBA 2K up in there. You know, you make your my player. Mm-hmm. You want to get a Brody guy. You want to get like a 100%. Stocky guy. You don't want to get no slender, skinny guy unless you're a driver.
Well, it changed Kevin Love's career because this man was a beast in the paint. He could rebound. Mm-hmm. He could put the ball up. He had great touch on the baby hooks around the basket. And then all of a sudden, he thought he was going to be that Chris Bosh, so he thought he had to add more athleticism. But that's not what he needed. It changed who he was as a player. Mm-hmm. Because when your core is you have that low center of gravity and you can shoot, that's what made you special. Now you can just shoot. Like, you lost all that leverage you had being able to back people down and position yourself around the basket.
Exactly.
He's a baby in the paint now. He used to be the man.
Yeah, I don't even think about him anymore. Yeah. I don't even think the Cavs think about him anymore.
They don't. He's collecting checks out there, getting white hair, too.
Looking getting like white fox. Hair. It's crazy.
Anxiety was real. He wasn't lying.
Oh, but to your Lakers, man, you're Mello.
That was my next point.
Freaking Mello, man.
They figured out in the last few games that Carmelo Anthony shooting on the outside is it is a necessity for this offense to succeed. Mello has to be on the court.
Can I say something?
On the court.
Can I say something real fast? Please, you're going to appreciate this. I'm getting major Glenn Rice vibes.
Thank you. Thank you.
Major Glenn Rice vibes.
So
man.
Perfect.
I'm looking at these Lakers and I'm just kind of thinking like, oh my God. Like, and again, me being a historian of NBA basketball, I like to compare a lot of teams. And I'm looking at this Lakers team. I think about the 2002 Lakers team with their first championship actually with Glenn Rice, with their first championship against the Pacers, right?
Mm-hmm.
With Glenn Rice.
AC Green. Yeah, absolutely. Fisher, Shaquille O'Neal.
And Glenn Rice defensively was a liability. Yep. But guess what? He gave effort. And that's 100%. All you need to do.
When you're with great athletes like LeBron James and Anthony Davis, you can have liabilities on defense, but the most important thing for them to learn is positioning. Absolutely. If you can position yourself where they're not going to take the open path to the basket and you can push them into your elite defenders, that is plus defense.
And don't forget about Dwight Howard.
100%. You can be a plus defender without being a good defender. You just have to learn where to push the guys into your better defenders.
Absolutely. 2,000%. I'm with you on that one. So, yeah.
And so the last two games where I'm talking about the Lakers made that turn.
Mm-hmm.
Carmelo Anthony, 23 points against Houston, 24 points against Cleveland. 75% for three, 62% for three. Carmelo Anthony, because of the way their offense is designed, and you have a player like LeBron, who's LeBron's shooting the three very well this year so far, and Westbrook, who has not – he's shot better the last couple games, but Melo is that guy that makes Russ great because he's out there on the outside. And at this point in his career, they just need him out there.
Absolutely, we need him.
Mm-hmm.
And again, we have to scale that back. Even if let's say Melo gives us 16 for the season, 17 for the season, and shoots 43% from three. I can see him shooting 43%. That's how good his stroke looks. That's real optimistic for the season for Carmelo, but I can see 43%, and I see about 36, 37, maybe even 38% for LeBron.
Yeah.
Incredibly high for him.
And that's much of a usage player. Yeah.
Absolutely. And then you have Russ. I think Russ has been working on his shot. You see his trajectory of his shot is different now if you've been seeing it. So I think Now, I'm not a fan of working on your shot in season. I'm not a big fan of that. However, he shoots so terribly that I fully understand it and accept, and hopefully he does continue to keep working his shot during the season. If he gets his shot to if he's shooting 45%, 40%, 45% consistently with a jump shot, that'll be more than ample enough for these guys to do what they got to do.
Yeah, we're also seeing some adjustments in the NBA too with the switch of the new basketball. Using Wilson now instead of Spalding.
Yeah,
and Paul George was talking about the other night. The ball isn't as soft.
Yeah, I posted that. Yeah, man. I thought that was really I get it because I'm a baller. Or I used to be a baller in my younger days. So, I ball with every type of ball. I used every type of ball. Outdoor ball, suede ball, Spalding, Wilson, all types of balls, man. And I can see his point. I can see his point, but you're not supposed to say it.
Yeah, exactly. So for the Lakers to take that next step, obviously Dwight Howard has been playing plus defense. He's done nothing pretty much on offense, but coming off the bench, playing 15 minutes a game, he's grabbing four rebounds. He's averaging he's only a half a block per game, but he's at a 14.47 PER, which is good for a bench player.
Yeah.
The player that I think will push the Lakers over the top, if he can just make smarter plays, because he's fighting being in a poor franchise for the beginning of his career and has really ruined his intelligence of the game. Malik Monk is the key for the Lakers.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I was going to say that too, man. Get out of my head, man. That was going to be my last point, man. Because
he does not look smart.
He's dumb. He's dumb.
Very dumb.
He's the new JR.
100%.
That's what I was telling somebody. I don't know who I was talking to, but I said, okay, he's the new LeBron JR. And I said, LeBron, he really needs to take him around his wing. And again, he's the kind of dude, he could be a new dog. Like, sick him, boy. Like, yo, listen, stay at the wing, either shoot the wing in the corner, obviously. Shoot the shot or drive for an easy 2-point shot.
Mm-hmm.
Or easy deuce or whatever. And that's it. If you don't have anything, pass it out. Pass it back out to us.
That's all they need from him. And he's going to learn that because LeBron, he coaches those role players.
It's about spacing, too. Again, you can tell the good franchise and the bad franchise by the way they space. Like, no matter what the coach, the way they coach, no matter what, the spacing is going to be great. Which is why if you look at the Philadelphia 76ers and every one of Doc Rivers' team, after going to tangent again, besides that Boston Celtics team, the spacing of his teams are never that good. They're always kind of bunched up next to each other. And Joel Embiid still, and again, it's not a big deal. He's always in the perimeter, but he's still primarily on the perimeter and not doing a lot of set plays. But again,
I think that's also been because he's hurt his knee early in the season.
And I considered that too. But again, this guy, Doc. But again, back to coaching, back to Vogel. And again, it pays when you have somebody like Rajon Rondo and LeBron James, two of the smartest people in history, on the same team. They will figure this out, man. Now, again, you have Russell Westbrook, who is like antimatter. And he may be the least, I don't want to say dumb because he's not dumb, but I want to say the least IQ.
Yeah.
Basketball IQ in history is Russell Westbrook, pro point guard in history. So
definitely drawing over.
Yes. Yes. That's a better term. Thank you.
Yeah, but I don't think either of us are worried about the Lakers. We see them as championship contenders. Yeah. It's just, it's going to take a few games. It's the same thing has always happened with LeBron teams where he has a new superstar in the mix that he's got to just learn how to play with because LeBron's a smart player. Same thing happened in Cleveland. Anytime they brought people new in, majorly happened in Miami.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and even then that Cleveland team with Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving, they just did the same thing. They start off slow, then learn in the space and on the court.
You can argue that every year, no matter what team LeBron's with, they're going to have a little bit of a, because it's a new team every year anyway.
It's almost like an ego death for everyone on that team because they realize like, oh no, I really do have to let this man like put me in a place to win because he's that smart.
Exactly.
LeBron's going to make you the best that you're going to be in your career.
Absolutely.
All right, so let's move on to my dark horse team. We're going to start picking up the pace here a little bit because now we're entering the next level of contenders.
Yes.
So these are the guys, besides the Mavericks, like these are the secondary teams in the West.
Absolutely, yeah.
And right now, this is my dark horse for the year. I love them because I think their pieces have been forming together, and we saw them last year in the playoffs make a little noise. Oh, yeah. And I thought they were going to take the next step this year, and it is. We talked about it earlier. It has helped this player the most take that huge step in his third year. That is the Memphis Grizzlies and Ja Morant. Ja Morant is just, to watch him dueling each night, league pass. They are a can't miss league pass.
Yes, absolutely.
100%.
Absolutely.
And I love him going toe to toe with stars. Like that man, he was dueling with Curry the other night and pulled out a win. That's the only team to beat the Golden State Warriors this year.
Right now, he's a top 10 player. Right now. Right now, at this moment, he's a top 10 player. So, he has the strength and the athleticism of a Derrick. Well, he's not athletic. He's not as athletic as Derrick Rose. He's probably like a 75% of Derrick Rose athleticism wise.
But I think that's way better also pass. Seeking like how athletic Derrick Rose was
in the league. Yeah, for those that know.
No other. Derrick Rose was the system of a down.
Yeah.
In the NBA. To top speed again was insane. Yeah. It was constant speed switch.
We shouldn't even mention him no more.
Yeah.
I should say he's probably the athleticism as a Russell Westbrook. I think he's probably as athletic as maybe Russell Westbrook.
Totally. Yeah.
But a better passer. Shooter. Back to your Stevie Francis comparison, the handles of a Stevie franchise.
The thing that was holding him back. Yeah, you know, the herky jerky stuff is real. He's got a major and one to his dribbling. That's where I see the Steve Francis for sure.
Absolutely.
But the thing where he's taking the next step is he's shooting 38% from three. That was his biggest thing. We were waiting to see if he could improve that outside shot because we saw him starting to get the bend treatment. People were backing off, like Tempe saying, like, no, bring shoot it for free, or you come into the basket, I'm gonna get a jump on you. Mm-hmm. And now he's making him pay.
Now I will say I think that's gonna dip.
But if he can keep it at 35. That's the line.
But the other thing is he's shooting 16 points in the paint, and he's getting to the paint so easy in this new era of basketball.
Mm-hmm.
That's insane. You know what I'm saying? And I also think with his playing ability, he actually embraces contact.
He does, for sure.
So I think for him, now that he's getting the contact, and I think for him, he made that switch in his mind, like, oh, I'm not getting these calls. So now I can really go in with, like, with that non-abandonment, I guess you can say. But yeah, I'm a Grizzly fan.
So they've been without what's his name? Dylan Brooks. Dylan Brooks last year was the biggest surprise of the playoffs early on. He was looking like a legit two next to Ja.
He'll never be a two for a championship team, but he'll be a three or a four.
Well, here's my thing. If they can get legit minutes between the way Desmond Bane has emerged so far this season.
Oh, yeah. Getting open shots. Very surprised.
If they can get split minutes between Dylan Brooks and Desmond Bane and just feed that hot hand next to Ja, that's an above average two guard.
Oh, yeah.
100%. Because they both their styles fit. And once again, Melvin, I hate to bring it up, but when you can replace your starter with a bench player that's the same key fit to the lock, that your offense doesn't skip beats. You're still playing that same flow. You're not leaving what you do best.
That's a question for another day, man, whether that's becoming a new trend. Because that's something that the great franchises in history have done that.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems as though more teams now are doing it. And I guess that speaks more to the availability of information for people. And I guess now people can now really investigate how franchises become successful. Because that's a great point you made, because that's the key, is really replacing your bench and your starter, you know, and that productivity rather.
Yep. Now, Jaren Jackson Jr. Yes. and De'Anthony Melton, like, we're going to – Jaren Jackson, I'm finally starting to come around to what everyone else is seeing.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's just he's an athletic freak. He can start hitting the three normally and play a little smarter on defense. He could be the number two to John Morant. I see the potential.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
De'Anthony Melton's been playing above his pay grade as well as Desmond Bane. And I think we're going to see that because of Ja. Like, Ja's taking so much attention on the perimeter that they're going to get open looks that they'll never see for the rest of their career if they move on from Memphis. But the most underrated pickup, I think, of the offseason.
Steven Adams.
Now listen, I was talking with my boy C the other day, and he was giving me the business because he's like, "That's a dumb take, thinking that Jonas Valanciunas or Steven Adams was a good trade." And I was like, "No, it's not, bro, because Jonas Valanciunas is an anchor in the middle, and that's not what you need with Ja Morant. Jonas Valanciunas, he's having career year. He had a career year last year, had his best season by far, and then now he's back in." Where did he go to? I'm slipping my mind right now. Jonas Valanciunas. In New Orleans. Excuse me.
Yeah, when they pelted him. Sorry.
Now, but it's going to be interesting to see what he does once Zion comes back, because he is absolutely 100% in the way of where Zion succeeds.
Yeah, he's a prehistoric person. He always been.
Yeah, he would just,
I like Jonas. I like him. Man. I really do, but you're in the wrong time period.
He's a plotter.
Wrong time period. Yeah. And Steven Adams, like you're about to say, he knows his role as an offensive rebounder for one. And he knows how to clear out people's way.
He played with Russ.
And he played with Russell Westbrook.
It was the
great
perfect
point.
Pickup. It was the perfect pickup.
And again,
exactly what they need.
And this is how people think. And again, it's cool that we're talking right now. That's why I love it. I'm so happy I'm going on this journey with you. It's because we can really just be in the place of how these people really think. Because exactly what you just said is exactly what they thought about. We say, you know what? We got this guy who gets in the paint more than anybody since Tony Parker, since this Russell Westbrook of a guy. We got this great talent. And now we have what you just said, Jones down there. We can't do it, but we bring in another guy who's also able to kind of plop down there, but like you just said, able to navigate in the paint, but while still being effective and productive. So yeah, Steven Adams, great pickup, in the leadership and the camaraderie. I mean, come on, man. Steven Adams is the coolest guy in the league. Everybody talks nothing but high things about him. Everybody talks about how he's the greatest offensive rebounder in the league. He's the strongest guy in the league, people say. And he's just cool.
Yep.
And he looks like Jason Momoa.
He does look like a lot like Jason Momoa. Let's move on to the Denver Nuggets. The Denver Nuggets, I mean, Nikola Jokic is – he might be my favorite player to watch in the NBA. Like, I love watching Luka, but I've just never seen – we've never seen anyone who does what this dude does. He can control the game without scoring.
Did he not make the top 75?
He has to have. He had to have. He won an MVP.
No, we're not talking about that now, but keep going. I just want to throw that out there. But he should have made top 75. I don't care.
I'm watching the game the other night, and this is against the Timberwolves, I think. Let me check his stat line. This was against Dallas. I watched this game the other night. He only had 11 points. But the man in the first half had 11 rebounds and 7 assists.
Mm-hmm.
He was control, and they were up by 25 already.
Oh yeah,
he was 100% controlling the game from the top.
Paced everything. He controls the pace. He brings the ball up.
It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. And slight movements he does when he can do the little play. His expertise is where he does the little handoff. He'll set a pick while holding the ball.
Ball.
It's and amazing. Then do the little slick handoff out the back, and that dude can either run around for an easy layup, he's open for a quick three, or he just does a little dip off into the paint, and that little baby floater right in front of the hook, it's just unstoppable basketball.
And all that you just said, he can shoot too.
Wet. Wet.
So let's say the defender decides, I'm going to slack off and try to take away this opportunity. Oh, no, I'm just going to shoot this 18 to 23 footer with ease and accuracy. And guess where scoring points are? Top of the key at the elbow, mm-hmm. where you get the most optimal area of the court where you can make the best pass. Yeah, he's remarkable to watch from a basketball standpoint, from a basketball IQ standpoint. He's just remarkable. He's just amazing. And it's also stylish. He's Showtime to me.
He is.
He's Showtime to me, man.
Now, the guys around him, obviously, they're missing Murray, who went down in the playoffs last year, torn ACL.
I'm glad you brought that up, by the way.
Because it's a different team.
It's a different team. The people talk about him now is like, you're not understanding that their number two is not there. So
exactly. And he is a legit number
two. No, he's a legit number two. And he's a number one on a bad team.
And here's the thing. This is why they've gotten off to a little bit of a slow start for the Nuggets, because I think a lot of people looked at them as contenders after their performance in the playoffs the last couple of years. Everyone expected Michael Porter Jr. to take that next step, and he hasn't taken that step yet. I think he's just warming up a little bit because this is another player that we know is like his family, his genetics, all elite athletes, like college sprinters, ball players, but all of them have had severe injuries.
And severe injuries.
And so the fact that he's gotten to this point from the injuries he's already had is amazing.
It's a blessing. But
with people like that, when you have those injured legs, a lot of people don't know who haven't suffered. Like I myself, a few years ago, blew out my ACL, MCL playing ball.
Yeah.
It's different when you go back out on the court, especially after you haven't done it for a while, like a whole off season. Man's just shaking the rust. He's loosening up the muscles a little
bit. Also, somebody like him who's a chronic injury type person, he'll always forever be tenderfoot. Don't get me wrong. He goes, for somebody who's always hurt, he goes to the basket pretty hard.
Mm-hmm.
He goes pretty hard considering, you know what I'm saying? But he is more of a jump shooter. Also feel like his style of play is meant for another team. I hate to be that guy. I think he needs to adapt a lot to fit around Joker, which is no fault of his. Joker is a supreme talent. He needs the ball in his hand, but
Porter just needs smart players around him.
Absolutely. And I think Michael's a guy who's he wants the ball. He's kind of like a Jason Tatum kind of person.
Mm-hmm. Michael played good with Murray. In the
and he plays better than Murray.
He does play good with Murray.
He does. So, you're absolutely right. So we got to see. Maybe I got to wait until Murray come.
I think he's going to pick it up. There's going to be a point in the season where he picks it up. But they got some nice depth on the team. Jeff Green revitalized his career the past couple years. Jermichael Green's been big for them off the
bat. Jermichael Green. I love this team.
Yeah. Bowl. He's always fun.
He's upset. He might be gone. I don't know, but they ain't gonna give him up.
You got the MVP in front of you. What are you gonna do?
Porter's in front of him.
Yeah, no, that's true too.
That's the real issue.
Aaron Gordon was a great pickup for this team last year.
Huge, because he's not coming. No, because I think even defensively, nobody's talking about defensively. He's doing an amazing job defensively. I mean, he's not that smart, but I'm talking about as far as his body.
You don't have to be that smart when you're that athletic.
You can
cover up for stupid mistakes.
Exactly.
That's why DeAndre Jordan's defense has diminished so much as his career has gone on. Because he's one of the dumbest basketball players to ever step foot on the basketball court.
And so
once he lost a step, he couldn't make up for those mistakes. The bunnies weren't there anymore.
No.
So it's just different player.
Which is why he should be out the rotation.
Yeah.
100%. We didn't say that for the Lakers.
No. He should be out the rotation.
Give
me Dwight all day.
All day.
Monte Morris, he's stepping up for them right now. He's what they needed at point guard to fill in for Murray. And they just need to stay afloat. If they can get – they're not going to get, like, too much meaningful Murray minutes in the playoffs. But if they can get him back and Morris can be at a certain level, I don't think this is Nuggets year. I think it's next year. They're going to make a real run because of the injuries.
And the Porter got to adjust. I think this is going to be his true sophomore slump.
Yeah, for sure. And then, we'll see them in the playoffs though this year.
Oh no, they'll be in the playoffs. They'll be a six seed.
Oh, totally. This team, they're oozing with potential. Anthony Bennett.
Potential. I'm sorry, man.
The Minnesota Timberwolves. Anthony Bennett is taking the next step. Or excuse me, Anthony Edwards. Anthony Bennett's one of the biggest busts of all time. Anthony Edwards is taking the next step.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
He's 23 points a game, but we're seeing smarter plays.
Smarter
around the basket.
And his shot looks a lot better.
Mm-hmm. A lot better. He's still shooting low shooting percentage, but he's getting used to being – because he's becoming the number one dude. But and that's what they needed from
him. What you just made was smarter shots. Now, I'm seeing a lot of smarter shots, a lot of more. But if he's going to shoot a mid-range shot, it's not going to be a deep mid-range shot. You know, if he's going to shoot a three, he's going to shoot a he's going to commit to that three and make sure it's in the flow of the offense.
Yeah.
He has moments, though, when he goes renegade. But that's just the youth in him, and that's just his talent. You got to let talent be talent. Yep. You know?
Now, I got something to say about Karl Anthony Towns. Karl Anthony Towns is one of those players that you see him put up these massive numbers in Minnesota. But let's be real, as NBA fans, you can only watch so many games.
Yeah.
Odds are you weren't watching the Minnesota Timberwolves the past 4 years. Very much. Unless they were playing your team.
Yes.
So you see these monster numbers that he puts up in Minnesota, but they're just not getting wins with them.
Yeah.
So I have watched them 3 times so far this year.
Mm-hmm.
And he makes plays that'll drop my jaw for someone his size.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Great shooter for someone his size.
Real smooth.
I think his leadership has improved leaps and bounds, especially through the COVID season. I think what happened with his family has made him stronger and tougher mentally.
Absolutely.
It looks like he's able to put some weight on his shoulders now, and that's a big burden to carry when you lose that many members of your family or something like that.
Absolutely.
But he has some of the worst footwork I've ever seen of an elite big man ever. Have you noticed how awkward he is in his turns?
Sometimes he gets a little flustered. I feel as though that's all mental. And again, I think that's so funny you bring that up because I have noticed that. I have noticed that some, it's not, and I don't think it's bad footwork. I actually feel like he's very coordinated. I feel as though as soon as somebody gets him contact, it knocks him off his rhythm dribble or knocks him off his rhythm of what he wants to do. So he's somebody, ironically, we're talking about somebody who, as far as his personal life, has adjusted very well. But as far as in games, I feel as though in certain spots of the game, not every player, obviously he's a great player, but in certain spots of the game where I feel they need a basket and they give it to him on the block, he gets flustered. And I feel as though, I think that's why you notice it, is like when they need a basket, that's when all of a sudden he wants to get flustered and his feet get kind of tangled. But regular in the game, if he's doing it as a regular move, he's fine. But I feel as though that's all mental. And I think he has to fight through it. Again, back to your guy, Anthony Edwards. Mentally, he came into the league mentally stronger than Mr. Towns. So
yeah, 100%.
But that's
I think he got that because he was that true blue number one on Georgia. There was no one else.
Absolutely. So, Kentucky has those issues with their
players. It's easy to blend in because you don't have to ever have to carry.
All the players don't do well.
Mm-hmm.
I hate to say it. Think about the Kentucky players. Name a Kentucky player.
Now, here's the thing. All their elite players tend to underperform, but their bench players and role players tend to overperform.
Because
you got dudes with elite skill sets.
That's right.
Aren't getting the ball enough. Are getting drafted lower on better teams, so they're put in better positions to succeed right away.
Like a Devin Booker who was
Booker, Maxey, Bledsoe.
Yeah, Bledsoe, those kind of guys. But I look at John Wall, Sally injuries. A lot of his mental, but a lot of his bad luck. There's a lot of things you can point to with the Kentucky guys, though.
John Wall lost his career because of stupidity. The man partied too much. He blew up in weight. He had the liquor gut. Legit.
He did gain some weight.
And when the player with elite speed and athleticism doesn't take care of their body, and you lose that thing that you lean on, you're just another Joe.
Just another Joe, man.
Yeah.
And that's when the skill, talent, and playing ability – you can't just keep relying on your speed and athleticism, man. And I think basketball is the best basketball players play below the rim.
That's just true.
Luka Doncic, the Larry Birds, even LeBron James, who people are like, you know, now he's playing slightly below the rim now.
And this is one other testament to how incredible it is that Russell Westbrook is still playing above the rim after this long.
Absolutely.
Like, no one has been this athletic for this long in the NBA. It's unbelievable.
It's rocking around.
Now, quickly going down the rest of the roster, D'Angelo Russell. He's D'Angelo Russell. He shoots the ball. He doesn't take the ball to the basket anymore. He stays out of paint. He's
kind of falling down.
He has. Well, I mean, we saw it.
But that's also because of Edwards, too. But still, man, I'm seeing something different in him. I don't know what it is. Confidence level seems low. He don't still, he knows his role on the team.
And also, he's not smart. He's not a smart basketball player. He's creative. Mm-hmm. There's a difference between being creative and smart. Russ has great vision.
Yes.
But he's not smart with the ball. Like, he'll make an amazing pass. He'll get people the ball and dish and kick. But he turns the ball over a lot. Like, this, he's averaging how many turnovers a game? He's at three turnovers a game.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah, I mean, that's not great for someone who's not handling the ball.
No, that's terrible.
Yeah.
Don't get it twisted what I said. That's terrible. But for him, what I thought it was, oh, that's great. I thought it was worse.
Yeah, but they're also starting to get some meaningful minutes. Like, Patrick Beverly's being his incredibly annoying self off the bench. He gives them a little bit of a lift. And Malik Beasley's finally performing up to that contract that he got.
Loving Malik Beasley. I think this is what he is, though.
I agree.
At this point.
Let's move on to the Sacramento Kings, one of the most pleasantly surprising teams so far this year. And as much as there is to talk about De'Aaron Fox, Tyrese Halliburton, Buddy Hield's performance, I think the most surprising performance thus far in the entire NBA has been the reemergence of Harrison Barnes, homeless Kobe.
Homeless Kobe.
Like, Paul Pierce was fat Kobe, and Harrison Barnes, he's homeless Kobe. He's the dude you walked in off the street into the gym, and he's just laying. Man. It's crazy. He's averaging 23 points a game.
But I saw that, though. I can see that for him because of his talent level as far as the scoring points. He likes to score in the mid-range. He's pretty tall. So I can see that, you know, especially on a team that's like average. Cause again, I don't think they're going to stay at this position.
Well, you know, this Dallas is kicking the living crap out of themselves now, because now that Harrison's finally healthy, this is the exact player they need next to Luka.
The exact player. They need somebody, and Luka needs somebody they can just throw the ball to. And again, Porzingis was supposed to be that guy.
Who did they get in that trade? I can't even remember.
Doesn't matter. I don't even remember. I really don't remember. I usually have a good memory for these things, but it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It wasn't even. They're definitely just trying to clear cap space. They had to have just been clearing cap space. There was no purpose.
He might have signed there as a free agent. But it doesn't matter. They should have brought him back, even if they did.
Then he signed, right? You research that. I think he may have signed with them, but I think he was traded there.
No, keep taking us down the Kings when I look this up.
Yeah. But yeah, we're looking at look at the Kings, man. You got De'Aaron Fox, obviously. I mean, the Harrison Barnes point again, the last point by Harrison Barnes, I think his leadership too. He's much more talkative this year, if you notice.
I did notice that.
He never used to talk this much, but I think a little more talkative. I think De'Aaron Fox is the main and Halliburton, man. Knicks. Oh, man.
Oh.
And let me tell you something. Full openness to every, like, I love Emmanuel Quickly. I think Emmanuel Quickly is going to be one that steals the draft. I think Emmanuel Quickly is amazing, but I think the Knicks passing over Halliburton
may have been perfect for that team.
But it was one of the worst mistakes that they made in their franchise. And I really mean that sincerely.
But now Obi Toppin is doing stuff this year, though. He's actually showing something.
Last year
it looked like maybe a bust, and he's showing like legitness. I think Taj Gibson was the perfect person to tutor him needed to be.
Definitely, man. And I think the people Obi working with, man, in the offseason is definitely doing amazing, doing work. Cause I think he came back much, much better, much bigger, much stronger. I think a better post moves. I think he came with much better confidence levels through the roof. So Obi came back ready, I think. And again, with Randall. And again, to your brother point, we got Randall starting. Obi come in. Mm-hmm. Maybe Obi might come in for We're drifting.
But the trade for Harrison Barnes, it's even uglier looking back, man.
Why?
During the middle of a game in 2019, Dallas traded Harrison Barnes to the Sacramento Kings in exchange for on the verge of retirement, Zach Randolph and Justin Jackson.
That's what I remember. I remember it was a salary cap dump. And then I remember he signed with them in the offseason.
Yep.
So I think the Sacramento Kings, as usual, in true form, got lucky.
Yeah, because it was a bad signing when they did it.
Because they were trying to just get off money. So, okay, we're going to get rid of these guys. Then we're going to take this guy.
We're going to give away Bogdanovich, but we're going to keep Harrison Barnes.
Yeah, keep Harrison Barnes. They were not going to, and I bet you they weren't going to sign him the following year. And he's actually pretty good. Sure. Yeah. So, yeah, man.
So the Kings have been balling. They're 3-3 so far, but they've had some impressive wins. But one thing I have noticed, it seems like De'Aaron Fox has taken a little bit of a step back this year. He's not looking great coming out the jump.
Nah, it's the role. I think it's off the rules for him, too. People don't understand the rules are going to affect
everybody. He was one of those guys who got a lot of foul shots.
He did get a good amount of foul shots. Also, now you're getting more bumps. He's only 6'3", 185 pounds. You know what I'm saying? So now it's the rules are going to be a little different. He's not that athletic. He's pretty athletic. Don't get it
twisted. He's very fast.
Very fast. But
and he's good. He's got good body balance on spin moves.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. But he'll be affected because of these rules, but it won't be too big. Buddy Hill, obviously, is my guy. I'm a Buddy guy.
Because everyone who watches the NBA knows that Buddy Hill is the perfect fourth guy in a championship squad.
2,000%.
And that's who he is. He should be averaging 15 points on a championship team. He's the perfect piece that no one's ever going to get because he's going to be overpaid.
Yeah, he's going to be overpaid. And nobody's going to want it. So
I mean, I think the only answer is here is either – I think it's De'Aaron Fox and Buddy Hield for Ben Simmons.
That's a great – I mean
– I want to see Halliburton and Ben Simmons lining up together in the back.
Yeah, man. That'd be fun. I think and again, back to Halliburton, I think he's not talked about enough. I feel as though with his shooting ability – his playmaking ability, the fact he plays much better under the rim than De'Aaron Fox, which is very important because De'Aaron Fox, like we were just talking about, because of his speed and athleticism, he likes to play above the rim. But sadly, you're not that type of you're not Ja Morant, you're not Russell Westbrook. You know what I'm saying? That's just the point. So yeah, De'Aaron Fox and Buddy Hill for Ben Simmons, I think is perfect.
You allow Benson
to take off. Yeah, it's the only one that fits.
Yeah.
Only one that fits, man.
Sacramento would never get a player of that caliber.
No, ever. No. And the Kings aren't good, man. They're not making the playoffs.
Probably not.
They're not.
It'd be a fun playing team.
Yeah, they're not going to make the playing team.
Even those empty stats, Rashawn Holmes is balling.
Dude's 16 points, 10 rebounds. Man. That's not lasting.
His PER is 29. Right now, which is insane.
Well, defensively, he was always a guy. I think he's a LeBron guy from the perspective that he would have been great for LeBron. He never got to play with LeBron, obviously, but if he went with the LeBron, he would have been great. Yeah. But I'm not high on the Kings. That Ben Simmons trade, I think, is perfect. They need to listen to you. They need to pay you.
Let's talk about the Portland Trailblazers. We talked about them briefly up at the top. Game, having some struggles.
Yeah.
But we've seen them play good the last couple games. So they're definitely going to be a playoff team. Actually, I just lied. They haven't played great the last couple games.
They lost
their last two. Excuse me. But it was the two games before that they played.
No, I think they have been playing well. And the people tell me Dame not playing well. I think, again, to the naked eye, I look at basketball so differently than most people. And, again, we'll get more into nuances of how I look at basketball. But I look at trends. And I look at what a team is trying to accomplish, not what they accomplish, what they're trying to accomplish. And what I see is a lot of ball movement. And now that Dame's shots have changed, and I think that's also a challenge for this coaching staff, is to really allow Dame to get his shots up where he's comfortable with while still having him be involved in the offense. And again, people just want this popcorn generation, man. I just sound like that get off my lawn old guy. But, like, we have to be more patient. As you know, we have to let things organically take place. And I think – and, like, I think the point you're trying to make is you've seen the last few games they're playing better. Dame's still not shooting well, which he will start shooting. Well, once he starts shooting the shots, that's the offense have been directing him.
We're talking about one of the greatest shooting point guards of all time.
Yeah, all time. So
he doesn't get his shine because of Steph Curry.
Absolutely. Flat out.
Also, someone to look at on the team, CJ McCollum's been balling. He's leading the team in scoring. I think
we talked about that too, about as far as
I mean the move here, I think if this team is gonna grow with Chauncey, I know this is gonna sound insane, but I think the move here is trading Dame. It's just time. Like, you had him for 10 years. He's at the end of his prime. Send him to a contender.
He's 31?
And 31.
And we talked about his shot selections and how he scores. Why was you at 31 years old? He's been so effective at how he scores. Why not give him a chance to go another team? Like, if he wants to, like, let's say he did go to the 76ers and allow to take those shots that he's accustomed to taking and allow him to get those ISO penetration. Cause guess what? He's going to get more ISO situations with Embiid. Obviously, let's not even go down that road. But yeah, I agree with you 2000%. I think it's time for Damian Lillard to go. I think it's time for Chauncey Billups to have a chance to really build Portland the way Portland needs to be built, because Chauncey Billups, let's be honest, he's a Detroit Pistons kind of guy, meaning in a Pistons whole history, they're not a superstar history. Even with the Bad Boys, even though Isaiah was their best player, they're not a superstar. They're built on camaraderie, defense, and ball movement. That's what the Pistons have built on. And that's what he's going to bring to the Portland Trail Blazers.
What they need back here is like I'm picturing like a Melo type trade from the Nuggets when he left and went to the Knicks, is they need a few above average role players, because they already got the dude that can score in CJ.
Oh, yeah.
Norm Powell could take another step if he gets more touches. Mm-hmm. Yusuf Nurkic, he's holding it down the middle. But if they can bring in a few more role players to slide around that and build that offense around CJ for the next few years, I think they don't stutter. I think they're right where they are again, and that puts you, if Chauncey can get that team buy-in, to maybe move up a notch if they can improve their defense.
And also, from a basketball perspective, I think Chauncey's all about balance. And again, back to the point that we're going to continue to talk about this point you made earlier, talking about how when you replace a bench player, or rather when you replace a starter with a bench player, you want to bring in a starter, or bench player rather, with the same productivity or the same skill set. And when you look at McCollum and you look at Dame, especially in this new offense and the way it's moving, they have the same kind of skill set and it's kind of the same scoring points. Except I feel as though McCollum, because of his amazing interior floater game and his great mid-range game, actually has more higher scoring points than Dame in the offense that, you know, the great, you know, Billups wants to run, Chauncey wants to run. I think with, again, Dame likes to go high pick and roll all the time. That's his thing.
100%.
You know, so that's not what, I don't think that's not what Chauncey wants to do.
Portland playoff team?
Yes.
Okay.
They'll be a play in.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, I think they're about there.
Only because they're the adjustment pair. I think Chauncey's going to be adjusting, but their team looks good to me. I think Robert Covington is amazing defender. I guess don't get enough credit. Who else they have?
He's not scoring this year.
He's not scoring.
4.5
points. He's not going to score in this. I think he's going to play a Tayshaun Prince role. Again, if people really pay attention to this Portland team, Chauncey's really trying to build a Pistons team of this defense. Ben McLemore's come off the bench running around screens as well. McLemore's playing decent. I mean, no, I'm sorry. Norman Powell.
Yeah.
Playing Norman amazing. Powell. Ben Mattimore's playing good too, though.
Yeah, decent. Anthony Simmons.
That's why they should get rid of Dame too, man. You're right. They should just trade him and just let him be happy. It'd be a great
trade. It's time. Don't linger. I know he's the fan base, but still, like, just don't linger. Get your return. That's the modern era of basketball.
Yeah. But send him to the East, though.
Yeah.
Don't let him haunt you in the West. He'll haunt you.
He holds grudge 100%.
Yeah, send him to the East.
I actually, speaking of Tayshaun Prince, I ran into him in Inglewood at a Red Lobster.
Are you serious?
Last year. Lankiest dude I've ever seen in real life. It was insane. His arms are like 5 feet long. It's
the
crazy.
The pale horse.
Yeah, that's wild. Phoenix Suns, are we worried? 2-3.
Nah.
Because Chris Paul, definitely one of those players affected by the more physical NBA.
Yeah, Still leading the league in assists, though. Good for him.
Yeah, well, because he's one of the greats. It's not going to hurt him to the point.
It's not going to hurt him to the point.
But he could literally control the game by drawing fouls. The man was an expert at it.
Oh, yeah. I think now he has to lean more on his mid-range game. Sadly, I don't know. They look confused, but I know he's a smart player. I think they'll get together. But, again, I think they'll end up being a fifth seed. So I think they'll get together.
That sounds about right. He's going to have to score a little bit more. For sure.
And that's
he's only making 12 points a game right now.
Yeah. He got to score more points. Regardless. Yeah. Like, regardless, he got to score. If they don't score more points, they're not going to – no. Yeah. If he's not scoring more points by the next 2 weeks, then we should be worried.
Now, Mikal Bridges, the contract they gave him, already paying off. Dude's looking like a steal for the contract.
And again, my Sixers are idiots.
Yeah.
Just on a side note,
who they need.
They passed over Mikal Bridges for a player that they don't even have anymore. Also, Mikal Bridges' mother worked for the 76ers.
I didn't know that. That's terrible. Oh, that's
so bad. That's why I'm so livid about it. It's disgusting.
Did DeAndre Ayton make a mistake betting on himself?
Should have took the money. Always take the money. And then secondly, when you're a big man, you got to take the money because you're a dying breed. And you're not a – and I don't see him being a Rudy Gobert where you're such a defensive back. Well, we saw –
I listened to a lot of Bill Simmons. Bill Simmons made a point last year. When you have an athletic enough big man like DeAndre Ayton that doesn't have to leave the floor, because that's Rudy's problem. Sometimes he has to leave the floor in the playoffs. But we saw Rudy this year.
He looked
a little better. So we'll see what happens this year in the playoffs. With a big man like DeAndre Ayton, he really made the difference in those series last year in the playoffs. He is the type of player that makes a difference when you're on the court because he can switch.
Not the finals.
Right. But during the playoffs.
He did do a great job. And he's a great pick and roll defender.
That's a Jokic matcher there. That's a dude that you could throw at Jokic. He's not going to completely stop him, but he's long enough and athletic enough and fast enough that he can give him tough problems. That's a tough matchup for him.
So he's going to get paid, though. He's going to get paid.
Yeah, he's going to get overpaid.
He's going to get overpaid, but – so I guess he could have better on himself, but I'm a kind of guy where it's like you need to take the money.
Yeah.
Unless you're LeBron James.
For sure. Or Kevin Durant. Man, you can be injured. Also, one of the most underrated pickups of the offseason, because they didn't have a big man in the playoffs last year, backup big man, and it hurt them, JaVale McGee was a huge pickup for them. Huge, and he's been playing really good basketball for them.
Yeah, man. Ever since he went to LeBron, man, I feel as though he just got better, because I just feel that LeBron really helped him. You remember JaVale, we played for the Warriors?
Yeah.
Just how he's on Shaq thing like all the time. He was on, Did you see him on the Lakers? You didn't see him on Shaq that much. You didn't see him doing a lot of, I mean, he still did JaVale things.
I think the Lakers taught him championship pedigree. And the Warriors.
I agree.
He knows how to act now and carry himself.
And I feel like he's a big time leader now. Even the way he speaks now, the way he holds himself now, he's a real vet.
He's grown a lot as a basketball player.
You see that. You see it, how he holds himself. So that was a huge pickup for him.
You know, how many more championship teams does Jay Crowder have to be on before we call him the next Robert Horry?
Gotta win one.
He's won one. But he's been on a lot of teams at the championship.
Which one did he win?
Did he win one with the Cavs?
Nah, man. We got rid of him.
Let's see. Let's check.
We just traded him.
What year did the Dallas win? Was that 2011 or 2012? Yeah,
2011.
Okay, so he wasn't on the Dallas team. He was on the next team.
No, he's always on championship teams, but never on championship teams.
He's the poor man's Robert Horry.
He's the poor man's Robert Horry.
Yeah.
He's always the losing championship teams. Or the losing championship teams next year when they pick up somebody thinking they're going to help. Mm-hmm. He was almost on that Cavs team, but they traded him. At the trade deadline, I feel.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. Now let's talk about this third tier, guys. And we're going to go through these faster anymore because this is a long episode. But this is what happens when you do your previews. These are the preview shows. We're teasing this long NBA season for you, so you can look at these teams a little different. The LA Clippers.
Ugh.
I mean, here's the thing I said about Paul George. I posted this
amazing.
Paul George is an enigma, man. We fall in and out of love with this man every year at the same times of year.
Every game.
It's insane because he's one of the most talented dudes in the NBA. Got one of the most streakiest shots in the NBA.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Looks unstoppable at times. But he has failed in big moments, James Harden has. Like air balls, which is worse. Like, it's bad.
That air ball Paul George shot last year was horrendous.
It was brutal.
I've seen a lot of basketball, man. Like you know me, in the offseason, I'm watching past NBA seasons. That was one of the worst shots in a moment, because that moment was big for them. Mm-hmm. That I've seen in the NBA. That was pretty bad for a superstar, supposedly.
Totally. Now, he's averaging 28 points per game. He's right up mm-hmm. the leader, 29.34 PER. He's shooting 41% for three contested threes.
Expected.
And he's really putting it on. But what we are seeing from this Clippers team, and we saw when they had to give away Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, you're not mm-hmm. bringing in any young players for the next 5 years, because you gave away, like, what, 5 years of first-round picks?
That was scary.
Then you give away Lou Williams for nothing.
Peanuts. For peanuts.
For nothing. Lemon Pepper Lou,
man.
And you got some role players.
But that
you
was
take Kawhi out of that offense.
Yeah.
And you got an undersized Zubac when mm-hmm. all of a sudden you lose the physicality of Kawhi on defense and being able to bang a little bit down low for a small forward. Zubac is not that guy. Because if you're undersized everywhere, it just doesn't work.
He's a bench player.
Like if Paul George, yeah, 100%. If Paul George gets this team to the playoffs,
he needs respect.
He should be in the MVP conversation.
He should be MVP conversation. He should be. We should never talk ill of him ever again.
Yeah, and he's averaging three steals a game.
Yeah, he's still playing great defense. Like, he's amazing. I like Paul George, but he is what he is. I feel as though people try to elevate him too soon, but the issue also is he elevates himself. He has to stop doing that. If he would just like stop doing that, he would get the appropriate love and fandom that he gets without the hate and the laughter, you know. So I'm a big, and by the way, the Clippers love Luke Kennard, big Luke Kennard guy. I think people give him a bad rap too. I think on the right team, the right circumstance, he can be a real big time player in this league. But he won't be with the Clippers. I'm sorry,
and
man.
And I don't know what we expected. Like, the Clippers were kind of forced to play their hand and re-sign Reggie Jackson.
Yes.
Which, 8.28 PER. Like, that's all you have to say.
No, to piggyback off that, the moment that they were talking about that, I said, that's the biggest mistake. That they should let him go.
Mm-hmm.
I know it sounds weird.
They should have let him walk.
Should let him walk.
Because you're not going to be able to move that contract now.
Nope.
So, San Antonio Spurs. Now, one of the most boring, exciting teams to watch in the league now. Because I love watching Dante.
Oh, yeah.
He's a fun guy to watch. Big, tall point guard.
Oh, yeah.
I can tell why Papa's sticking around.
Oh, yeah.
And coaching him, because he's fun. Deontay Murray.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I love him.
But they're going through that transition period now where it's – now, they didn't trade DeMar. They didn't get an asset.
Yeah, that was tough.
But they're getting these young dudes. They're collecting them. Derek White's putting up numbers.
Mm-hmm. I like Derek White.
Lonnie Walker IV is putting up mm-hmm. numbers.
Like Lonnie Walker.
Doug McDermott, as soon as they signed him, I was like, well, that's good for 10 points a game in the corner in their mm-hmm. offense.
Absolutely.
Devin Vassell's putting up numbers. It's a depth-filled team. And I love teams like this because they're fun to watch because they play beautiful team basketball. Mm-hmm. But someone's got to emerge as the guy. I don't think Deontay Murray's the guy. We've had 3 seasons to wait him to see if he could become the guy. I just don't think he's there. He's like a good number 3 on a team.
Yeah. On a championship team, he's like a 5.
You think so?
Yeah, man.
I think he could do better.
And again, with this team, and again, I'm very low on the Spurs. Again, they're successful all because of culture and all because 100%. Of Pop. And Popovich, he's always going to orchestrate his offense and his team around what he has. And in life in general, if you're able to just adjust and adapt with what you have, you'll always be successful. So he'll always be like a success. But at the end of the day, basketball is a sport for talent and athleticism. And they literally have nothing. Their best player is DeJounte Murray.
100%.
And I just said it. I know it sounds harsh, but to me, he's not even a fifth. To me, he's like a fifth player. Mm. He's a starter on a championship team.
Yeah. Turns over the ball too much.
His jump shot is meh. Yeah. Great defender, though.
Now, let's move on to the bottom barrel. I'll shout out Jakob Poeltl because he's playing better than I ever thought.
Yeah, he is.
Let's talk about the Houston Rockets. Now, the Houston Rockets better be thanking the basketball gods because it could have been so bad after the whack haul that they got.
Oh, yeah.
For James Harden.
It could have been so bad.
And then when they traded for Russ and gave away three, it could have been so bad. But then they lucked out and they took, I think right now, the second best player in this draft.
Easy, after Mobley, right? Evan Mobley's your favorite?
Evan, obviously.
Next KG. Again, we'll talk about that another day, but yeah, that's my guy. But yeah.
Maybe Scottie Brooks.
With the Raptors, right?
Yes, I love Scottie
Brooks. He's surprise, man.
But Jalen Green looks like he could average 25 points a game for
career,
15
for his
years.
For the rest of his life. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm a big.
They actually have a little bit of a fun team here. Okay. Kevin Porter Jr., Jalen Green, and Christian Wood. If it was a 3-on-3 NBA tournament in the NBA, that squad would surprise some people.
Oh, yeah. Most definitely.
Because they all get buckets.
1,000%.
My boy C, he actually put me on to Kevin Porter Jr. I was never much of a believer, but 2 years ago, he's like, hey, Kevin Porter Jr. has some Kobe in him.
Kobe in him, very low level. There's a guy he reminds me of. This guy, I forgot his name. It's Kevin Martin.
Yeah.
Now, he gives me a little Kevin Martin vibes. Not much of a pure scorer as Kevin Martin, obviously, but I feel as though he's a great shooter, by the way, but as soon as his shot becomes more fluid, you know, he's a really good player. I'm very high on Kevin Porter Jr. I'm very high on him. Love him. Actually, the teams, as far as young teams are, they give me a lot of, Darius Miles Lake, Clipper vibes. They give me those kind of vibes.
All right. You know, so who's Corey Maggette?
Oh, Corey Maggette, man, sometimes, some games is Christian Wood sometimes.
Okay.
He's having moments. Then some games I
Eric
see.
Eric Gordon's Quentin Richardson.
Yes. Some games, my guy Kenyon Martin Jr. You have some dunks where it's kind of like, okay, I see you. The defensively Jalen Green. Who would he be? I guess he would be like a.
Darius Miles if he could play offense.
Darius Miles if he played offense, yeah. But I guess for me, not really players wise, but I guess the feel of this young team.
Yeah.
And like,
no, I like it too. They're just missing a candy man.
Oh, yeah, they're missing a lot of things.
It's fun. They have a core that they can grow with.
I'm rooting for them.
Yeah, no.
I don't expect anything.
The way they were headed with the personnel decisions that they were kind of backed into with Morey on his way out, I thought they were going to be historically bad for a few years. And that pickup of Kevin Porter Jr. when he got booted off the Cavs because it wasn't fit there.
Yeah.
And Christian Wood. The Christian Wood signing, I was all over that last year. Oh, yeah. I watched that man play in Detroit. I was like, oh, put him in an offense that runs the floor and can move the ball? Yeah, he's going to average almost 20 points a game.
Okay.
100%. And, they got a nice little core there. And they recoup some draft picks. I think that they're headed in the right direction.
Yeah, man. Who doesn't want to play for Houston, man? It's a storied franchise. I love the jerseys.
Well, actually, that's something to say. James Harden didn't want to play for Houston. The rumor is because that dude was a bit of he got involved in politics. That man was openly talking, supporting Trump. And, I mean, when you play in a sport predominantly.
Yeah, probably black, man. We don't really want to hear about that.
Yeah.
And Texas be wilding. And I know you heard about the NCAA, the vice president, calling on black athletes not to sign for any professional team in Texas. But that's a whole nother.
What?
Yeah, man. One of the guy off the NAACP board called on all black athletes not to play for any professional teams in Texas. You know, there's 9 professional teams in Texas. You know, there's no state tax in Texas, right?
Yeah, Something like that. It's very attractive for guys making big money.
Yeah.
No state tax.
No offense. If I was
real estate's cheap.
Yeah, so.
It's all the strip clubs are great.
Yeah, man. I mean, again, as far as human rights are concerned, that's a whole other topic, but, that's all for your opinion.
They're asking young men to make very responsible decisions.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. But the money thing. But, you know, but I'm rooting for Houston. Also like Kerry Thompson. Like him too. A lot of guys on the team I like. But I don't expect nothing from them. Anything, actually.
Yeah. Same. Let's talk about the New Orleans Pelicans here.
Gotta fire the guy, man.
This is going to be – he started off so strong. Getting those picks, I was like, yeah, no, this is the way to do it. With the Davis picks, he brought in Ingram. I actually liked their pickup of Devontae Graham. But why the hell would you not keep Lonzo Ball?
That was – first of all, I was praying. You know, I'm a Lonzo. That's my guy. You know, that's my guy. And Zion loves Lonzo. The team loved Lonzo. Brandon had a very close relationship with him. Josh Hart had a close relationship with him. Everybody on the team said he brought an energy to, like, he's a great guy. He's a guy that don't want to shoot the ball. He's supposed to play defense and pass. And your main guy wanted him on the team. I didn't understand what Griff was doing. Very disappointed in David Griffin. I expected more from somebody that's been around LeBron to make much more clear decisions. It looks like he's trying to ruin this franchise. That's just what it appears to me from the outside looking in. You're allowing Zion Williamson to gain 400 pounds along with the 300 pounds, like 700 pounds.
Well, they're so afraid. They've lost that. They lost out on Anthony Davis.
Yeah, like, they don't want to make nobody mad.
I mean, we get it. Like, they lost out on Chris Paul.
But can we be real? Who wants to play for a team called the Pelicans? The moment you name your team a Pelican.
Bring back the Sonics. Bring back the Sonics.
I've been saying make them the Sonics. I say make New Orleans the Sonics.
It just doesn't make sense. Now that you got Amazon out there, like, there's a lot of tech companies out there. It's booming for sports, especially basketball.
Yes.
Nerds love basketball. It's an analytics game.
Yes. Absolutely.
And plus, you could bring the ghost of Sean Kemp, get in there under Zion.
And again, we're talking about the New Orleans Pelicans. We're going to talk about them the least out of every team we talked about because I really do not care about them.
All that I want to talk about with them, well, two things.
What?
Brandon Ingram. Is he ever going to take that next step?
Bad, man.
Is he ever going to take the next step?
Not with them.
Not with them.
Not with them, man. I'm afraid he's not just, because
he's never learned good habits his whole career, and we're like 5-6 years in now, and just
it's
literally.
Sad. And it's sad because he's a gym rat. He's a gym rat. Mm-hmm. But my thing, if you're going to the gym working on things with no purpose, then what's the point? I feel that he comes in every season with no idea what his role or purpose is in this league.
You just nailed it 100%.
So it's disappointing. But again, that goes back to franchises and it goes.
They're
back
like Ricky coach. Davis S number.
Yeah, that's sad.
Just
man.
Putting up shots.
No rhyme or reason. He's like, honestly, when I look at players, not just him, players on that team, because I watch every game all the time. They literally are out there playing through the motions. The hardest player on that team is Kyra Lewis.
Yeah.
Everybody else is literally playing for a paycheck. They look uninspired. David Griffin, and again, I think this franchise needs to go. That's just where I'm at.
Here's the question I'm going to ask. How soon will Zion Williamson be a New York Knick? I mean, he keeps bringing up New York.
Yeah,
RJ
yeah.
Barrett's his best friend.
Best friend, still.
You know, Tibbs is just sitting over there like.
And again, you know how it is as a human being when you go into life with a certain mind frame and mindset. Because remember, before he was even drafted, everybody was talking about New York. He's thinking New York. He's planning New York. And then all of a sudden it's the Pelicans.
Yep.
And again, back to my biggest point. New Orleans is an amazing sports town when it comes to like college. I believe, LSU is a great school. I mean, come on, the Saints are like beloved out there. But as far as basketball, nobody talks about basketball out there, bro. I mean, come on, man.
The writing on the wall, Melvin, the saddest thing we're going to see because they love him. The fans love him. He's become what they needed to be. Mm-hmm. And it's even more ironic because he signed with them from them. But how sad is it going to be when we see Julius Randle get shipped for Zion Williamson? That's the trade. It's the trade. It's the exact role he's going to fill. It's the trade. Like, that is the trade on a cheaper deal. That's the trade. Let's not lie. It's going to be Julius Randle for Zion Williamson.
He's gonna be in there. He's definitely gonna be in there, 100%. And again, all respect.
It's gonna hurt my heart. It's gonna hurt my heart.
All due respect to Julius Randle.
To bring the Knicks back to relevancy.
All the work he's put in. He's the kind of star that's going to be on a non-championship team. He's just the leader. I'm sorry. Because of his playing style. He plays like he's a number one, right? That's his playing style. He needs the touches. He needs those placemats. But he does not, you know.
Bums me out, man. I wanted to see him do it. Cause like it's just.
But guess what? Nobody's gonna want Zion if he's 330 pounds.
That's true.
At 6'6", you know, nobody's gonna want that.
I feel like he's pulling a Harden at a young age. I think it's some. If he's aware of what he's doing, honestly,
I don't like it. I don't want him.
I don't like it. But
I don't like that at all.
He only has 10 years at elite level, if that.
If that.
Cause he's that big. He's that big. Like he'll turn into an elite six man if you want him at
definitely
like a. Top tier level.
He won't be
that way.
He won't be able to get. He was already the most blocked individual at his position, I believe, or a person that took shots in the paint.
The craziness is he'd get the rebound off the block.
That's not even no shade. That's just the fact that he's still getting blocked while he was still in shape. So now he's not in shape now. So obviously you're gonna be a lot tougher now, guy.
Totally.
But yeah, I'm team get rid of Pelicans, moving to Sonics, moving to Seattle.
Yeah, definitely. The uniforms are hideous, too.
Ugly.
Let's talk about our final team here. And this is...
I'll let you go in. This is you.
Listen, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, I love him. One of my favorites. One of my favorite players. But Josh Giddey. Ooh, I love me a tall, awkward white dude who plays smart basketball.
I love this guy.
Plays shooting guard. But this man's 6'8".
Definitely point guard skills, though.
Legit, like a one.
Yeah, he's like a one.
Better than Lamar Odom dishing the ball.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, definitely.
100%.
Yeah, definitely a lot of, and I think I told you before, he gave me a lot of Manu vibes.
Yep.
You said Scola, right? You told me one time Scola, right?
Yeah. Yes. I said Scola and a Rudy Fernandez.
Yes, that's what you told me. And I thought that was ingenious. I think with the Rudy Fernandez, it's definitely the length and the awkwardness of the movements. I definitely see that, what you're talking about. And I think he's like a Rudy with a Ginobili for me, because I think it's very much herky jerky, very much long, lengthy. Can really slide. I love his game too. When you said his name, I was like, "Wow, that was my dark horse." He's definitely going to make the rookie team.
I didn't know who he was when he got drafted. Then I went and looked him up and started looking at Australian league highlights. I was like, yo, this dude can play. He's got legit vision. Like when you're dishing out dimes overseas. Like, anyone can score overseas, but when you're making the team better overseas, that's impressive.
Oh, yeah. And I love
his hair. Gotta love dudes.
Love his hair as well. Yeah. It's flowing, man.
So, this team, man.
But they are what they are.
They are what they are, but eventually we're going to see the next step. Because they got dudes that can play. Dort can play.
Yes.
Bazley can play.
Got a lot of people the same position, though. They're going to have to.
They do. They got a lot of big men. A lot of big men. They've been collecting centers like it's a hobby.
Yeah, as if it's the 1993.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So,
but they got so many draft picks over the next 5 years.
Oh, yeah.
It's freaking insane.
And about
I've never seen anything like it.
I believe they're going to be OKC 2.0 is coming. I'm talking about not as great as a James Harden, Kevin Durant, Serge Ibaka, and et cetera, et cetera. But they're going to have another OKC young boy emergence.
They're going to have to trade Shai. He's not in the same timeline. He's just not.
He won't be.
And they could get a massive haul for him.
They'll get a massive haul. I agree, because I think Josh Giddey, for me, I'm a big Giddey guy like yourself.
They play kind of the same.
No, they're both the same position. They're both long and linking. I think Josh Giddey, at the end of the day, and again, I'm probably higher on Josh Giddey than you. We'll see what after this statement I say. But I actually like him more after watching this season more than Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. And that's mostly because of, I think his jump shot's more fluid. I think because he gets in the paint and gets to the mid-range. You know, the mid-mid of the paint?
Yes.
Not always the cup, But the mid of the paint, Josh operates for me better than Shea. But Shea is amazing, like you said. I think it's a toss up. It's one of them things where, you know, you can never really be wrong, and they're so early in their careers, you don't really know. I'm just big on Josh Giddey because I saw him in Australia. I'm seeing now what he can be. And he's such a smart player. He don't seem to press too much, whereas Shea seems to press a lot. But not to argue against myself, which I'm going to do quite a lot. Shea sometimes does, and because Shea presses a lot, he can also come up bigger later. So to argue against myself, Shea would be very beneficial because I think he has a higher ceiling because of his heart. But I think Josh Giddey, I just like his style of play. I think his style of play is just a winning style of play.
Same. And I think Shea, he's kind of taking a step back on making his teammates better, but I think that also has to do with not putting good teammates around him.
Absolutely.
So
he don't seem to care either. No. That sounds bad. They all care. This team's young, and of course they care.
Yeah.
But they're out there. They don't expect nothing.
Yeah, 100%. Well, people roll into Oklahoma City. I've driven through Oklahoma City. During the year the Thunder were in the championship, I drove into Oklahoma City on championship night, driving across the country, and nothing was going on. No one cared. I went to a sports bar for dinner. No one gave a crap. Like, it's not a basketball town.
Nah. It's more of a college town.
And the fans be acting like a college crowd, which is hyped.
Whatever.
It's not, and you're not ever going to bring a free agent, so they're smart for doing the draft pick thing.
There's no L.A. type fans out there.
100%. And, you know, you're getting – it's just not – Shea's just not in the timeline, man. He's going to have to go.
No, and again, those are – but from this team, it's only really – I love Dort. I'm a Dort guy.
This is the NBA farm team. That's what it is. They send dead money here, see if you can rehabilitate and get shipped off to a contender for a pick. That's what they are right now. And they got to give these prospects time to develop.
Because I was never even like, oh, I have to watch the OKC game. I was never like that, even when Kevin Durant was on the team. You know what I'm saying? So now he's not even on the team. I'm really like, ew.
Biggest crime ever was that Russell Westbrook, James Harden, and Kevin Durant didn't win a championship together. It just blows your mind thinking about all the teams that are like over the tax now, and it's just a common occurrence. They really could have just kept James Harden on a discounted contract still, not even a full max. And kept that trio together, but they traded away for Kevin
for $4 million total, I heard. Not like $4 million a year, $4 million total. But it's funny, but it was so cool about this, dude, not to talk about LeBron, but I always got to bring LeBron into it. Our grandchildren are going to talk about LeBron saying, you know what, LeBron beat a Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, James Harden team.
That's real.
And how that sounds.
Put that on the resume. That's a better trio than anyone Jordan beat.
Now, don't get it twisted, like, because we're older, and like right now, context is everything, and we can, like, and the people that are against that.
Down the road, they don't know context.
Oh, our grandkids, when they're, like, 16, like, what are you talking about? LeBron beat that team. So it's awesome.
Yep. Well, Mel, that's going to wrap up our Western Conference preview. It was a doozy. We took 2 hours on this one. I mean, I had a hell of a lot of fun. I haven't talked this much serious basketball in a long time. And I look forward to the Eastern Conference episode next week. And then each week, it's going to be much shorter. We're going to try to keep it like 45 to an hour. And we're going to recap each week of the NBA, talk about futures, talk about placement of players all time, just all things basketball. And you heard it here first on the Hall of Game podcast, we're thinking.
Hall of Game. Oh. Hall of
Game.
Oh. Yeah. Like that.
All right. Yeah, we'll see. So I'm going to create an anchor page for us. This will be out soon. And then we'll be posted up on our socials and everything. But thanks for tuning in, listening thus far if you did. And we out.
Oh, yeah, I want to give a quick shout-out, though. Quick shout-out to my people back home, Harford County. R.I.P. to Coach Johnny Brooks, my coach, the person, my inspiration.
Melvin comes from that DMV basketball scene.
Oh, yeah, man.
They grow up. That PG basketball. County.
Yeah, man. Ash is Baltimore.
Yeah.
Baltimore,
it's all the same, right?
It's all
there.
The same. Don't tell nobody that though. Don't tell nobody that though. But yeah, man, shout out to my fam. Shout out to Mr. Brooks. RIP. Love you. Rest in peace. But yeah, man, it was fun.
Hell yeah! All right, guys, thanks for tuning in.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are entering the realm of 5 2 4.